call to order the regular meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, June 22nd, 2017. First item of business is to approve tonight's agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
So a motion by Commissioner Von Trapp and a second by Commissioner Gildersleeve. Any comments or changes? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Do we want to make the one amendment or the one addition
what's
to the draft?
What's the one addition?
The name of the person who voted no.
Oh, this is just the agenda.
Sorry, agenda. You're on agenda.
So any further comment or questions on the agenda? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving tonight's agenda say aye.
Aye.
The agenda is approved. It's unanimous. Next item of business is to approve the minutes for the June 8, 2017 meeting. Do I have a motion? And a second?
Second.
So I have a motion by Commissioner Miller and a second by Commissioner Von Trapp. Any comments or changes? If I could direct you all to page 204, when we voted on one docket item, there was one nay. Does anybody recall who the nay vote was?
I was the nay.
I thought it was you, but we wanted to make sure.
So where there's an insert PC, we'll insert Commissioner Heller. Any other comments or changes? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes for June 8th, say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. It's unanimous.
Abstain. I wasn't here.
One abstention. Next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Seeing no one from the public present, we will move on to item number four, which is the staff summary of CED committee for June 13, 2017 docket recommendations. Senior Planner, Ms. Burrell.
Yeah, let me get to that page. So we met with the CED committee on June 13th and went through your docket recommendations, which was quick and nice, following right after your recommendation. So,
just a clarification on the committees. So,
sure.
I guess I know there's an Economic Development Commission, right? So, now, yeah, Economic Development Commission, and then this is the Community of Economic Development Committee. It's just council members? That's right.
Yes, it's three council members. So there's a finance committee and a public works committee. And those are all three of the council members. And so it's another layer of basically going through more detail until it gets to that council level. So there's a planning commission recommendation, a committee, and then the committee would be charged to maybe answer questions at the council meeting if there's questions on it or the direction they gave. So it's still a recommendation. The council then, when it goes to the council as a whole, they can go with the committee's recommendation or against it. Same with planning commission. So.
And then they don't have regular meetings?
They do. And they are, so they're usually, this would have been the second Tuesday. They're usually the third Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And they fall at 4 o'clock, the third Tuesday, which is a council meeting as well. So, I mean, that's subject to change.
Some older page and they're ready what they say about the meetings. Just please check to see if you're
getting them. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I saw that too.
It's on the monthly calendar usually if it's either way, if it's a change or not. This one was off a week from normal.
And there's no notes taken?
Well, that's, we have not done that consistently. It's something we should do. And it's helpful to do. So.
But there's no motions or actions, or do they take any?
Just, no, it's just really informal. It's a consensus. Yeah, you know, do you all agree to move it forward? And it's pretty informal that way.
Are we going to get in this level of discussion now, or are we going to wait later?
Discussion on what?
About
yes, we
the CED.
Yeah, it was just letting Scott get clarification.
Yeah, it's just kind of confusing to the similarity of the Economic Development Commission and then the Community and Economic Development Committee. But I don't know, just a comment from an outsider.
Mm-hmm. So anyway. Yeah, and the Economic Development Commission is not council.
Right.
And it's more like you guys, and it's different agendas, and
business, growing your business.
Right.
So.
Right.
Anyway, that's all.
Yeah. Lots of commissions and meetings, and yeah.
Yeah. Lots of layers.
Right. I think that it's called that because our office was called that. Things are kind of morphing and changing. So,
okay.
Will it always be that?
Commissioner Ryan.
Well, I just want to make note that it seems as though the CED, the Planning Commission, are totally out of sync. How they can arrive at denying almost everything that we've approved just 5 days after our meeting. It seems to me that there's a lack of communication going on between us and someone who's vital.
I think in most cases you guys were in sync.
Not most, but there was on significant approvals. They were denied. They almost seemed to have just the full agenda of denying these documents.
Commissioner Ryan, can I just interject
real
quick?
That's my observation.
Yeah. Item number 9, the council retreat EP1 zone, no residential. Is that correct?
That's an error.
Okay, so
sorry.
That should be approved.
That should be approved. Yep. Yep, I caught that after.
So that makes 2.
2 out of 7.
It just seems that we're missing some communication.
Right. So would you like me to kind of go through what their recommendations were on
Absolutely.
Each one? Okay. Sure. It won't take long. So docket number 1, Councilmember Rosen was at the meeting, so he was able to provide some of that input. Was at your meeting, the hearing, and agreed with every. Okay, the May 25th. We do have. Well, you've got the minutes now, but they were in agreement with what the citizens said that someday maybe this could be even more than multifamily. Now isn't the time, and they agreed with that. So. That was pretty straightforward. Number 2 and number 3, again, for the CLDR, it's a recently went to that zoning. They were not interested either in changing it at this point. Not a big impact because it's in the urban growth area. There wasn't a lot of discussion besides. It sounds good on that. So docket 4, there was quite a bit more discussion, and actually the Joe Eddings, who is the applicant, he showed up at the end of the meeting. I think he got a message from someone that was there. We had two guests there that they had voted against his proposal. And we'll get to it a little bit later with the permitted uses and kind of what they went through each zone and really focused in on the neighborhood business zone. And their reasons for not wanting a car wash was mostly visual aesthetics, economic, not a big economic generator, not a big employment generator. They took some heat from the people there about not supporting small business, about, you know, how is this so bad, and it can be made aesthetic, and, you know, so there was the pros and cons, and I would say maybe 2 out of the 3 felt stronger about it, but they were wanting to just go away from car-oriented uses and having that as a point where you come into the town and that's what you see, and keeping that at the interchange, the freeway interchanges. So that is where that one went, and that's one that I don't know what will happen at council. I really have no crystal ball there of...
That's Patterson, Kostanich, and Rosen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Docket 5 was also one that differed from you. The Torgerson Properties near Torgerson Park. And really, they said on paper and on a map, it's perfect. It just makes a lot of sense. It's near downtown. It's near the park. But I think at least one of them is really focused on having multifamily downtown. And there's been some allowances for River Run and Dahlgren and some of those that are vested. But they really didn't want to see more there. They didn't want to keep sprawling the multifamily.
Just kind of a question on that, because I find it kind of interesting that that was a recommendation from their retreat.
Right.
So I was just wondering, is that like one council member can make these requests, or do they have to be unanimous, but like a majority approved?
I guess maybe it was more of a consensus. I wasn't at the retreats, but, and some of them asked that. Well, I thought we already looked at this, you know, and we've kind of done this show, you know, a few times. And I think there are a few that might vote in favor of it. But again, will it make the majority? Hard to say.
I was just interested, like, right. How does this work? Like, we got this from them, we approved it, we gave it back to them, and then it was denied, which seems inconsistent on the surface. And so.
Well, that's the committee, it's not the council.
So right.
Yeah, and so it'll still go to council.
And, yeah, so I think it was maybe the thought, let's try again. The other thing, and just see if it sticks different this time, since it's fresh maybe in everybody's minds. The other thing that they said was before when we went through this, there was a lot of comments from the people along Thrasher, and they're very opposed to it and really concerned about it and everything else that's going on right at that intersection. There's a lot of stuff happening, like we talked about at the last meeting with transportation. So they were a little concerned that we hadn't heard from those people again, and that they would want to probably engage them again if we were going to make that change. And that was just the committee's thoughts. So, you know, that definitely a consideration is the people around you. But, yeah, that one's tough. It's hard to say because you could really see it being something else. And they, you know, talked about it in relation with the one, Docket 1, which is right across the street, and just...
the city would take steps to start condemning some of those commercial blocks. They can have what they want, otherwise they're not going to get what they want. Mm-hmm. Period. Well, they have to step up. Mm-hmm. Make that hard decision.
Number 7 was the street standards, North Bend Way and the 140th. The only thing they changed on that was to add where we added, the Planning Commission added the types of species, and then they said, or as otherwise approved by the city, just to leave that flexibility in there, because we were pretty specific on the species. I think that was the one change. The other change, which I have on the Planning Commission calendar as a possibility for you guys, but they actually, I don't think I brought it with me, but we have a Cedar Falls, Southeast Cedar Falls Way street standard that on the north side, and we'd been working with a developer on this, and You see a little bit of it at the cottages at North Bend, where you have the tree retention, and you have we have a sewer line along that north side of Cedar Falls Way. So it's a 15-foot easement for sewer and a 15-foot tree retention with a, instead of a traditional sidewalk, a path meandering around the trees. So we wanted to formalize that with the picture in the code, like the 140th, kind of that sort of diagram showing the cross section, and solidify that. So that will go directly to council for a hearing. They all supported it and thought it was great. It is 30 feet of basically land that we're asking for. There are some skinny parcels along there. So we do have a section in our street standard that allows the public works director to have discretion. And that, and then I'm just advertising, you know, the public hearing. We'll get comments and see where that lands. So it could be an issue with certain properties, but we would have that flexibility, obviously, and we wouldn't want to get into taking more than fair.
To be clear on that, what tree retention would you be speaking of? I don't recall any trees being retained in that lot.
Well,
so there were, on the cottages one, there were some retained in that. Not along Cedar Falls Way, not a lot, and there's replanting happening there. So I don't know if they had 15 feet of width. It's close to it, but they, they're looking at that, and they're looking at a lot of it has, it's kind of a ditched area, and so that's more of a stormwater. Do we want to keep that, or do we want to fill it and address stormwater underneath it with pipes, or how are we going to address stormwater? So it's a stormwater and a tree function. There are a lot of significant trees, but it is 15 feet. So, yeah, 30 total, 15. And I believe the standard talks also about encouraging the planting or requiring planting within the 15 feet, because there are certain species you could select to go, maybe they're more shrub-like, to go over the sewer lines.
It's called revegetation or something.
Yeah.
You only visualize Miss Patterson, Councilman Pat Patterson, what you saw at that property. So I remember hearing her on council session, how she was demanding trees be left on the interior.
Yeah, and that one, actually, they're putting, I can't remember the exact number, if it was 65, or they're replanting quite a few trees, which is going to be neat to see how that works with the smaller lots. But the houses are small, but the lots are small. And that's what we're working with Quadrinon, south of Opstead, is getting some replanting on the lots in the site. And I think on our planning commission schedule, which we'll get to, you know, maybe we will start looking at the tree code, because that's what we've been hearing, is the 30% isn't enough. Yeah, I would love to get like an urban forester on our team to help us draft those regulations. And but you know, we've heard from committee roughly, you know, they may want to increase that by 50%. I mean, and they don't want to allow fee in lieu. They want to have it on site, so as much as possible.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Even trees on site helps define the roadway. If they have to work around the trees, that's to create an interesting community.
Right.
When they don't have trees to worry about, you're going to get what you got, a box.
Yep.
And we should be working to make the builder, it's going to cost more.
Right.
But to keep the neighborhood interesting by retaining down the trees in place.
Thank
that's
you.
The idea.
Commissioner Ryan, I can't wait till we discuss our tree code. Say and what you're
going to
change in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know of a great arborist who works right next door? Phil Bennett's upon me. And I know he's helped other cities.
Yeah, we have a good arborist on staff, or on consultant. I don't know if he's as much of an urban. He worked on the Snoqualmie, the design downtown where they have the piers, right, the boardwalk right next to those large trees. And he's been helping on the restaurant. But we walked, like, for example, we walked the quadrant site yesterday morning and, you know, look at everything and make sure they're protecting the trees that are coming, that are not coming down. And it's all, we look at almost every single tree. So, yeah, it's always a balance, but we're definitely enforcing it more with, we now have 30% and you can go down to 10% possibly. We're not really doing that anymore. We have some projects that might be vested, but likely we're really sticking hard with the 30 and no fee in lieu, and that's based on council direction and what they want to see. So, yeah.
Jamie, so on number 7, right. We approved with amendments. Were you saying Cedar Falls is included in the amendments?
Or yes. Something different? Yes. Southeast Cedar Falls. Again, council would have the hearing and possibly approve, or if they're not ready, to make a recommendation on July 18th. And then the other change was for the species or as otherwise approved. And then for the last one, docket 9, they agreed with you in approving that no upper floor dwelling units would be allowed in EP2.
What does
that mean? That was an error. Yeah, it should say approve.
So, Jamie, I want to thank you for providing this. I think it's great for everybody to understand, you know, what the process is and how it goes forward and also what the decisions are. I think it's good clarity. So, thank you.
Yeah.
So, I guess I wonder about 6, 8, and 10. Further on, you say that they talked about them, but they didn't make them.
Right. So, let's go to that. So, they gave some thoughts, but they knew that you guys were taking it up. So, so dockets, let's see, I think I skipped something. Docket number 8, the neighborhood business zone along Southeast 140th Street rezoned to LDR. And then we have a map, the previous page. This had come up before. This would be a redesignation from a commercial land use to a residential and a rezone from a neighborhood business to a low-density residential. Overall, you know, this is for you guys to discuss tonight. Committee felt they didn't have a big opinion about this. They thought it's a pretty small area. What the citizens want matters. They wanted to listen to their input if there were people widely against it or wildly for it. If it did go to a neighborhood business zone, they're proposing, and you guys will be looking at neighborhood business, that residential would be taken out of that. That creates a bunch of existing non-conforming uses because you have a lot of homes there. We have new homes there. We have a short plat application in and another home possibly going in. So that would affect them. We had one comment letter that said, you know, I paid the higher the ULID, and so these properties have paid a neighborhood business assessment. And so if it were to go to NB, we would want to have probably a performance standard that would allow single-family residential, except for the parcels that front North Bend Way. And then the other consideration has been in the past, and we just want your direction on those two parcels on the east side. And I did get a clarifying email that I'll pass around from Tom Weber, and he's the owner. He provided comment before and I think came to speak before because he owns the other parcels to the east here, which are EP2, and he's requesting EP2. committee isn't, we're not really interested in more industrial EP2 land right there. So those are their thoughts, but you guys, if you want to discuss Docket 8 and give your recommendation, that would be great.
Well, first let's talk about neighborhood business. And then we can get to the industrial part, because kind of two separate things. Driving on Southeast 140th, there's a large bulk of it that's residential. So I had originally requested this change when we did our comprehensive plan update. And the reason behind it was just because it was residential area, and the amount of pedestrian traffic you get versus the North Bend Way seemed to make more sense, that you're pushing the business on the main street and keeping the other street rural and pedestrian friendly. And then you're really not interrupting or hurting any uses, because those existing lots are all residential for the most part. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to get your thoughts.
A lot of that probably like post no truck traffic on 140. Are you going to get them doing circles around that neighborhood to get to their destination? Mm-hmm.
I believe, yeah. Well, I know for the mine traffic that it was. They had to go on North Bend Way and around.
Yeah, I guess just to add to your comments, that's one of the reasons, and the other was to match what's there, which a lot of times makes sense in zoning. I guess in this case, it's a pretty well-established neighborhood. So with some new homes, like I said, so your chances of having somebody come in and put in something really large and have to take out and buy all those properties, and then there is probably a pretty slim chance. And then the road is private still, and it's tied to one of the parcels. And so I think it could remain either way. Even if you had some neighborhood business uses, I think it could really remain really rural and small and kind of as is.
What's the noise tick on I-9 to that 140th? Is it buffered enough by the trees?
I think it's further probably away. We can hear it, but we tell ourselves it's the river.
Yeah. So you do the Jake breaks.
It doesn't ruin any cars.
That doesn't happen much because they're already down there.
Well, I'm just asking the question of would you expect to have high end homes in there with such a busy thoroughfare right behind?
Not high end home necessary, but there's some nicer new ones. But you definitely, I think, hear the freeway, and I don't know, it's at grade there roughly with this land, so I don't know how you would mitigate it, you know, beyond a wall or something.
So I guess I've heard your point before that you made. It makes sense if you only are looking at 140th and looking at like Tanglewood, for example, and looking at potentially LDR there, the changes. But then I'm just looking east and I'm looking at all that EP2. So I guess in a little bubble, it would be nice and rural with people walking and all that. But then, like with that other, the EP2 so close, then I think that little picture you're painting is short.
Jamie, correct me if I'm wrong. I understood that the EP2 along Southeast 140th had a 50-foot buffer.
40 or 50. 40.
So that's going to be make
pretty good buffers
right there. And that I believe they're going to use North Bend Way and 436 or whatever exit 34 is. Mm-hmm. And then they'll create a road inside the lot was the plan.
I mean, and I guess to add to your point.
That I'm doing it with that understanding, Scott.
Well, and to things add to your point, I guess Wood River is buffered pretty well. So that part of it makes sense, but I'm just looking at the paper, and you're saying with that understanding. Yes,
yeah, there's definitely to the east of those lots where they have either North Bend or EP2, the buffer there might not be enough.
Mm-hmm.
depends what the use is. Mm-hmm. So EP1 and EP2 have been requested, right?
EP2 has been requested for those east, the two east parcels, because the property owner.
I do read here as well that he says, I'm fine with this being neighborhood business as well.
So, Jamie, EP1 and EP2. The main difference.
So that's another thing. I've got a few, pie in the sky ideas. Probably will be dockets for next year, which will be coming up soon. Our docket, we're running late this year. The one that I'm hearing that council committee would like to address is consolidating those two zones. There's only three uses that are different. So really, they're very similar. There's just a few more intense manufacturing type uses. So that's the only difference between the light gray and the dark gray, the EP1 and the EP2. And then this Tom Weber says, I think he wouldn't mind NB depending on what's allowed in that zone now, though that's being looked at right now. So,
well, if he has an existing use, that's still non-conforming, but.
Right. And I think maybe he has a use on his other parcels to the east and he's wanting to expand it onto there. And
talks about mini storage.
Right.
There's existing mini storage on there.
Yeah.
There's an existing storage on there.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if that's going to go away with the tribe holding that property.
Mm. Well, I think about the change for the EP zones being focused on the employment aspect of it.
Right.
And to take away those other things that are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That the council's thought was to focus on the employment aspect of it, to create centers where a lot of jobs could be created, not warehousing, not storage facilities.
Right. But the same thing behind the car wash. They're putting smaller homes in. People need storage. That's the reaction. When you have smaller lots, smaller homes, the people have stuff. So it will force them to find storage. So we should make it available to them, not take it away. That's not business sense.
Good point. Very good point.
Right, and we have talked with them about that one thing they're going to be looking at their next CED meeting is warehousing, and right now it's 150,000 square foot limitation, and they want to reduce that. We've cautioned against totally prohibiting, because there's the need for that in some cases, and that's okay in some cases, and same with any use probably. It's all just where and how and when and how many times. So. I think Nintendo is about 250,
okay.
Is what I want to say. And like a grocery store, I don't know if that Safeway is like 55,000 to 60,000. The Safeway is maybe the QFC is smaller.
It's their biggest box. It's huge.
Like the whole Safeway complex would be 100.
Oh, the Safeway?
The Safeway
square foot is 100,000.
At Safeway? Okay. Yeah. That seems big, but you could be right. Yeah.
They have white eyes.
Right. Yeah.
Why don't you see?
Mini storage also store outdoor vehicles, the Land Rovers and the boats and things like that.
Right, and we've gone away from that a lot too. Outdoor storage. Yeah. So we'll get to our permitted uses with that, but yeah.
Find a way to get that back on the table. It's making a mistake.
Well, especially if you're going to tout an outdoor recreation destination, you would think you have boats and jet skis and, a locker of hiking stuff. Not that we have an off-road park, but there's one up on the pass. Okay, so EP1, EP2, so not major differences. Neighborhood business, which we're going to get to later.
Right, we're kind of there now with docket 8, and then again, 6 and 10. So we can, if there's any other thoughts on 8, we could kind of table it and go to 6 and 10, think about it more and come back,
that's
or if it's not confusing.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So I'll give you a quick summary. So 6 and 10, consideration of residential uses in the NB and the urban separator. Yes.
Sorry. Just before we go into that, I don't know if I said this or not, but on the docket list that we already approved or denied,
right.
When they go to council, you are all welcome to go and speak your mind, whether they're different or the same from us, right? And I think it does make a difference as to understand how we feel and what our decision points were. You know, I think another thing I think about, if they're just looking at public comment, our job is to plan for the whole city. And we want to make things just and equitable and provide a variety of options for people to live. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that argument helps them so maybe make an alternative decision.
Mm-hmm. I wish I would do more Tuesday nights.
You can do yeah. written. Sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, no. Okay, so docket number 6, neighborhood business zone, no standalone single family. Consider multi, mixed use with ground floor commercial and upper floor residential. So we have drafted a possible performance standard as an option to think about that would restrict standalone single family and multifamily along the North Bend Way frontage and allow standalone multifamily units to be behind those. And before you get to Mount Si Road, there are some large parcels, and that's kind of the challenge. The committee was questioning, well, how many would we get? You know, would that be too many? And is there a better use for the property? The other item there is, you can see on the map behind you, there is that blue parcel, a few parcels there, where the cottage ends, and they actually front Tanner. Does everybody know where I'm talking? They front Tanner Road and not North Bend Way. So it's just a little bit of a different, not actually fronting North Bend Way, they're fronting Tanner there. Yeah. So that is 6. And then 10, so we can look at the performance standard. 10 is the neighborhood business in the USOD overlay. No single family, no multifamily. Committee, generally, they concurred with that. The other two things to point out, which I think these are docket items that we could pick up next year or get in the docket and look at it later this year, would be our schedule, is the mobile home park going to downtown commercial. And so we wouldn't want to address that now because it's it's a rezone. So we could, but it would delay us a little bit, and we'd have to have another hearing. But that's a possibility, or just add it to next year's docket. The reason it's NB is because we previously had that use only allowed in NB. Now it's proposed to not really be allowed anywhere, so it can stay existing, but there'd be no new. So that could be a possibility for a downtown commercial lot. And then this committee kind of agreed that this could be looked at for downtown commercial too. It's just across the river. It's it is constrained by flood zones and some wetlands, and so there's only going to be so much development capacity. We had said limit it to 10 units per acre there. They were okay with that there. So,
Jamie, is that the road that was supposed to be raised up to limit the flooding somewhere around there? Or am I thinking
eighth
of some?
I didn't think there was.
is it the Nintendo bypass road, whatever road that is?
That would be along here, yeah. This is
whatever the one that didn't get developed. I thought they were going to raise up the road to
the Nintendo bypass. I think they were concerned about if they put the money into it that it wouldn't be high enough, and the because it is in an area that could, at least according to the map, have water.
Right, and this one too. Yeah.
That little road though, 8, is that area in there is actually just a cross right now.
It's just
problematic, yeah. Kind of catches a lot of things. So that's just something to think about.
Just while we're here, I've been teaching the masses for 3 years. What is this here? That road doesn't exist. Is it a right of way? Kind of like here?
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I was really hoping for an answer.
Yeah, I'd have to see why.
Is that 202?
It actually is
right away. Is that 202?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's, I mean, it's...
No, this is 202 here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it shows Bolt kind of doing this.
Oh,
but
yep.
It doesn't do that.
Yep.
I'll look into that and see.
I've been driving you for years.
That's
funny. Not here.
It must be right away. That's the only thing that makes sense, and that's why it's shown, but...
Okay, so looking at all the blue on the map, there's some potential changes, so depending on what we decide, that could impact them or not, because those lots would
right.
be up next year.
So those two things are kind of in the future, I think, so we don't delay dockets anymore. But the overall for docket 10 was supporting no single family or no multifamily. Again, farther away from the core, people... Just generally, I think we heard that at the hearing too. That we don't want to see
that
homes there.
Right on 436 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
In the intersection.
436 and
North
Bend Way. Yeah, roundabout right near there. Mm-hmm.
Which is right where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Literally right. Where that. So, talk to me about. Congestion that's going to occur on that intersection.
Congestion, you said?
Congestion.
Yeah, that's a pretty direct shot for folks heading to hike, getting off the freeway at that exit to avoid, I guess, the downtown traffic.
We've got houses in the background. The street's going to be multifamily.
Right.
It's all developing there. We all know it's going to be developing.
Right.
So is that the best place for where all the traffic's going to be.
Well, you think about it from a business owner point of view, and yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah. I guess, again, maybe just what? Yeah.
It's going to stall the traffic. Anything that's going to back traffic up on I-90 needs to be avoided. And if we have a problem that they have up there on the ridge with 1890,
mm-hmm.
we don't want that mess. So we don't want anything that's going to keep the flow of traffic coming off the freeway headed towards the downtown core.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to have anything backing that up onto the freeway.
That's a good point.
You could restrict the entrance to Tanner instead of allowing an entrance on 436, which keeps the flow going with a right turn.
I'm just saying, I'm on my devices.
Right.
Be thinking about that.
Yeah.
Right.
But as an alternative to changing the zoning, you can just make some conditions that help.
Right, I think. See it right now, but the parcels there is one that actually does have access on Tanner, and that would have to remain. So you've got where am I now that I've walked up here? Here we go.
So this big one actually has access off of Tanner.
Yeah.
One, two. So you'd have potentially two parcels there that access off of 436. Well, that one fronts Tanner, so
yeah.
One parcel that only has 436 access, and it's too small.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point. I'll talk with Public Works about that, and then that will be one thing to discuss. Well, if we're not ready to make any recommendation on that now, then we could look at it with our next year's dockets
family, if the thought process on saying no to the denying or disagreeing with the other one was avoiding additional sprawl.
Right.
There we go. Two, I'm absolutely on board with you on this issue of the traffic and potential backups. And I brought it up, the fact that we have this huge area that we're getting a density of population that basically has very few ways in and out. And if we're not thinking about those access points as we're planning where we're going to have greater density of development, we're creating a situation, and the Ridge is a perfect example, where if the 18 intersection gets taken down at the same time that you lose the parkway on the other end, you can't get on or off. There's no alternative unless they punch through that temporary road that they use that goes by Lake Alice. And generally, it's weather conditions that's going to result in that breakdown. And going down that hill by Lake Alice isn't going to be any easier. So I think that we have a part of what we need to be thinking about seriously is how do we weave in this idea of where our roads are going to be and how we're going to handle the traffic load mm-hmm. as part of this overall idea before we start putting in greater density.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a little bit of a disconnect in the lack of a logical balance between it's okay here but not here.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that we're maybe a little bit ahead of the game on a few of these changes at this point that haven't been fully thought out from the overall impact.
Mm-hmm.
The traffic studies.
You and I are less apart. Just how we're going to get there. I think that you understand the traffic issue is not handled with all.
We're not seeing
our level anyway. Level of
I think that we, you know, as we look at these, there's a lot going on, particularly with six, because we're talking about this issue of will we allow multifamily and get rid of single family residential. At the same time, we're discussing zone changes for zones that aren't going to be the zones they are right now as soon as we get around to looking at them. I think we're ahead of ourselves mm-hmm. with this. We need to figure out what those zones mean before we start talking about changing what we're applying to certain properties. And I don't know if anyone else is in that place now, but I just feel like we're making changes right now that we might have to back up and change again in the future. It doesn't seem like a good use of our time to have to retread something when you know it's already coming.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
So, Jamie, the next item on our agenda, the table of permitted uses,
mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about on that chart? Is
that's
really kind of looking at the zone?
Well, and what are these zones? You know, we're applying labels from mm-hmm. the neighborhood business, and when we're talking about this EP1, EP2 issue,
mm-hmm.
that may be very different
mm-hmm.
in a matter of months.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have to circle back mm-hmm. and decide, have we actually allowed something that we didn't intend to because we're using the definition that exists today when we're considering
it? Yeah. I guess my comment about the NB, which has been the struggle, is working in the confines of what we have now, knowing it might change. Scared. People are scared, wanting to just stop multifamily, period. So that's what is defined now as neighborhood business is pretty linear in that middle portion along North Bend Way. And the fear has been, some of the fear has been, if you take out all residential, then what could you see there? And do you want the commercial uses and everything to sprawl out along the road? That's not ideal either. I mean, we don't want to create the 99 feel. And again, it would just be that section. But so if you don't have residential, then what commercial uses are okay? And then the CED committee has looked at, you know, how they feel, and they've taken out quite a few uses in the NB. But I think you're right. It just, I mean, you know, we've talked about, is it better to just block things more? Like, instead of having, like, why have, you know, blue here, you know, kind of dotted throughout, but, you know, one idea was, like, make this block, if you want it, cottage or residential, and then you have a block here that's, and just so it's just broken up, clean
versus spottiness. So that's some of the thoughts you had. But
that's interesting because you think about Mount Si Road being a prime business location, not a residential location.
Yeah.
And so I hesitate North Bend Way, the busiest street, to create as a residential zone.
I think it's fair for either.
Up, but let's talk about maybe different types of businesses, or you know, recreation type businesses, restaurants. You know, that breaks it up substantially.
Yeah, I think, and the fear of not having any residential along maybe that whole strip that's now blue, and then you do go into the gray to the east side of Mount Si Road, and then you go into the Dahlgren property. So there's a little piece there that's gray, which council committee mentioned. I would take that out of gray and put it put something else there, a business or residential, whatever. But if you don't have anybody living and it's all business, you're not getting that people on the street and that vitality of if you're going to build these sidewalks and nobody's going to be there to walk on them and just that feel. It's more, it could be more stark or stale. So it's always a balance of people and places. But I think if you guys just, if you're wanting to take multifamily, single family out of NB, and leave it at that for now. I think that's a valid thing to do. We've been hearing that overall, just the concern of more multifamily and where.
Well, that's docket 10, right, that you're talking about?
Well, that is both of them.
No, because docket number
docket six is no standalone single family. Right. Consider multifamily.
The reason for saying we're not going to do it here was this idea of sprawl.
Right.
And then we have the secondary issue of the traffic and how do we get people in and out if we lose one of those major thoroughfares to an event. And it is relatively narrow. When we're having a two-lane road, you could basically shut down all of North Bend very easily in the right circles. And then we don't have any way to get people in and out. So that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But the idea of breaking everything into blocks doesn't work either because we actually end up bringing on what we're trying to avoid, which is a feeling that we're in Issaquah lining the streets with shopping malls and houses are isolated and separate.
And yeah, I mean, I totally hear that, but like part of me is you're thinking if we concentrate everything in the downtown, traffic is already quite, well, I don't know what the word is, we all know what it is like. You know, if there are other centers, then it's at least, they're not centers, but, PCC or some type of small grocer goes out in the corner of 436 in North Bend Way, that could, you know, appease all the, you know, residents out there. And now we have that relief downtown for at least one need to go there. So I'm sitting here and thinking, like, I see that side and then I see a different side, not wanting the sprawl, so to speak, but how do we achieve that? I mean, a roundabout has limitations. Obviously, I think kind of comparing that intersection to the interchange of 18 and 90 is, I think it's a little extreme. I don't see it on that scope, but at the same time, with all that development there, how do we keep a healthy flow and not, jam it up?
Yeah, you're really talking about Black Diamond and what else is around there, Carnation?
Covington.
And they all come up Highway 18, get on I-90, go to Microsoft or somewhere else, and then
you
go back
to the trucks coming out of Tacoma.
Yep.
It is a very good point that it would alleviate some of the pressure on the downtown core if we actually had more, another little grocery store or
so if you weren't running into
the area. Well, and so then I kind of just need to continue that thought for the sake of discussion. Like, what our current zoning has, and I know this isn't what we're discussing, but like, a little far-sighted, it is sprawl that, you know, the opportunities mm-hmm. are left with. And so, mm-hmm. kind of like you're mentioning, how do we concentrate that? Mm-hmm. How do we shuffle things around in a way that concentrates it at a convenient center that we can plan traffic for, mm-hmm. And yet, you know, I mean, the other thing I'm thinking of is I had a conversation with a good friend this week. He's a single mom, and who's paying a ridiculous amount for rent. Mm-hmm. And you're just surrounded by people that are really hard to live around. And so she's, you know, like, I don't know, that changed my perspective on the multi-family housing. So it's like, you know, this woman who I care a lot about can't afford a place to live here, a place that she's called home for 11 years. And...
That's the big knock on our town. We don't have affordable living for people.
Yeah.
You'll have to go to this point to start.
And so how do we integrate all those things together when I'm the first to sit here and say, I don't want to, you know, upset anything and have it be higher concentrated? And that's what I was saying in the last meeting. You know, and maybe a part of it is we need to let go of the fact that this isn't a small town anymore. As much as that hurts, I mean, I feel like that's kind of reality.
Well, number-wise, we are still a small town compared to mm-hmm. all our neighbors.
But we're not the small town that North End was.
Yes.
You know what we mean when we say that.
And when you think about sprawl, you think about the Growth Management Act and what its purpose was. It was to contain sprawl within a city limit and the border and to grow that as dense as possible because that's where services can be most efficient. Now, we have our vision of a city as a rural city, and defining that amongst us, we all come up a little bit differently. And, you know, I've talked many, and I'm happy to hear you mention that social justice and equitable living, you know, it's got to be part of the picture. I like the fact that you're thinking about mobility and how to structure not just one single point of everybody heading to. The other thing I thought about, you know, when I look at a highway exit is that's a great place to put a lot of things because that's where people can get on and off very easily. That makes sense. And then create maybe relief on the other sides of that. So all good points. And that comes back around. I almost think that docket number 10 is easier in some respects than anything else. That is the area that's out by Meadowbrook Farm. And it's very clear that without a sewer system, without disrupting the area, which years ago so many people put their money together to preserve, just to me that seems like the right decision. So, any other comment on that? Number 10, Dr. Ken.
My comments, I guess, kind of where you're going, like that. To me, I see 10 as pretty straightforward and do agree with that. And I think where Elizabeth was going with 6 and 8 to a degree, anyway, for me, is looking at neighborhood business as a whole. And I would maybe deny both of these because I think we need like a whole overhaul of that. So, instead of just looking like at a little dot on a piece of paper. It's just not a good way. I've never liked doing that, and I feel like it comes up a fair amount, you know, where we're just like not seeing the bigger picture, not looking at the bigger picture, and it's no one's fault. I know these things sometimes are hard to put together in a big picture view, but I think we need to really look at it that way, look at the whole zone, and not, you know, there's reason why 10 would be these other ones, it's just hard to agree to that. And especially if different uses may change recently or upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've just been struggling with this past week on like these on 6 and 8.
And I think that's what has pushed the council committee to take a really close look at every single use on that table, and that's what they're charging you with. So It doesn't alleviate the problem completely. I'd love any ideas when we come back to this, how we can all brainstorm efficiently together to come up with a solution.
Lundy and Council, maybe 2 weeks ago, went on a dialogue about the Alpine City Store. Harking back the day where you had the Alpine Frost in the stores. Sullivan was advocating small villages within the downtown core of Seattle, where neighborhood stores, neighborhood bar, neighborhood, every third corner should have one of those pockets to keep people local to the neighborhood rather than having them get in a car and drive somewhere. And this long strip there, that doesn't stop people from walking, nothing else will. I mean, who's going to want to walk, you know, that 2 mile walk? You're not. So you have to walk, you know, you have to walk back the way you came. That's kind of not a very community building plan. But I definitely think we should probably, not 7-Elevens, but actually true, genuine food stores that have quality food that people can get to without going to the red to find it. But you really got me thinking, Elizabeth.
Or risk manager, which is actually my issue.
That's what I'm talking about. You should hear you say that.
I will say, though, like the Chinook lumber, like what Curtis is saying, like that will prevent me from going all the way to Ace, most likely where I live. I mean, if they have what I need, how would I drive all the way to Ace?
Mm-hmm. And right now they're off 202, so people that are going to Chinook. And you also have the heavy trucks for their delivery that are coming in right next to an area we have small children and their families coming in and out. So I think that it's a really good move for them. And I think that we'll see that it helps offset some of the impact that there is right now in the business where it is. Make it easier for people to find it.
Yeah, so right now we have potentially four projects in the pipeline. I guess, am I thinking of five? Two are near the core, and two are not. And I think everybody would love to see more here, like up. And that would make it a more vibrant downtown core. So the feeling I'm getting is there's not a lot of desire right now to have more multifamily outside of the core, because if you keep allowing it out, it's going to take that much longer for it to happen here, where we're at.
Based on the principle that vacant lots develop first and redevelopment takes time to.
Right.
I have a question, actually, and this is completely throwing it out there. When we look at that docket 6 and the consideration of multifamily, do we have any way to lock it down that it has to be a condos that are being sold?
The title has to be fee in lieu.
Yeah, you can say it's required to be fee simple. Yeah.
Because if we're looking at diversifying the kind of mix of what's available here,
but you want ownership.
Yeah, that's an option. And there are a number of really interesting kind of mixed use condo options that could be done in that area that would provide a mix of some retail.
Remember when apartments were being converted to condos? When was that, back in the 70s, something like that? High majority of apartments flipped into condos. People were buying their own little apartments. Mm-hmm. That made a difference, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, again, if we're looking at the idea of building a community that has options for all levels, so that it's truly a community and not a suburb where people sleep
mm-hmm.
and come to play, addressing those issues and providing a different kind of spread beyond the apartments, the people that would be able to afford to buy a condo
mm-hmm.
at night, maybe not one of these large homes on a detached lot. Might be another way for us to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to get a bit creative about what we're encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of ideas.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's a hard one. Because
I will say on 10, I'm on board with that. That we need to shut down. That area just is not appropriate for single family residential. And multi-family residential even. It is special for hazard area. And we already have a large portion of our city that falls in the special for hazard area. And that area's kind of been developing on its own into an area that's providing recreational opportunities. I think continuing to allow that to happen and not having something suddenly go up with an apartment complex in that mm-hmm. area makes sense.
Any other thoughts on docket 10?
I keep thinking about how are we going to think about the idea of, as we age, housing for 55 and over. I'm confused as to where that's going to fit in, but it's certainly something to consider. Should we really create community more, depending on where that's located, and build neighborhood businesses? Grocery store, walkability. That's something that's on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
On that.
So. I thought we did approve that. Well, the committee did said otherwise, but we did the Torgerson last.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a great place, I think,
that's
to provide.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the other side of this street that could be as well. I think I'm not good at knowing the 55 to 65 range that was on the 2010 census, I think, is what I looked at when we did our comp plan. That was our largest segment next to the 35, 38-year-olds. So that is a big issue to really be addressed, and they're not talking about it.
Okay. We are seeing them have to leave, and I've commented on this many times, actually. We're seeing them have to leave the valley.
Yeah.
In many cases, places that they lived, for 70 years. Coming back, the one case I'm thinking of actually gave me permission to talk about her. If that ever came up at one of these meetings. Came back here as a German war bride. This is the only home she knew. The house that she was in until the day she left is the home she came back to with her husband. And left here and is in Gig Harbor now because the only place that she could find with a little detached structure that she could live in. And they come and they change the light bulbs. You know, it's one of those kind of all-inclusive senior communities where she gets to have her house with her patio and her garden, and people around her that are checking on her and are doing the things that she didn't do on her own anymore. But she had to leave the community that she knew, in order to find that.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is being repeated over and over again in this community because we don't have options for them here.
Yeah. Always one option, that's where people go and never leave. they died right there.
Yeah.
You know, 42% of this commission is in this age bracket we're talking about. Should have spoken to voice something. What should be done with senior housing?
I don't know about you, but Mary's in her 30s.
She's really.
Yeah, I I was going to say something that was purposeful, but now I forgot.
I have a question on 10.
Yes.
So let's say, like, there are homes, the area is south of both West 8th, right, that floodplain area in the neighborhood business.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say that no single family, no multifamily allowed, and then one of them wants to sell their home, like, can someone just buy that and still live in that same home? It's just mm-hmm. only when it's redeveloped, like, I guess, what, more than 50% redeveloped, or what triggers it to be neighborhood business?
It's a good question about the substantial improvement.
Is it related to that?
It's for sure new, and I would have to clarify if substantial, if that triggers it.
But I don't know if that's what you would get either. If somebody wants to build a business there, they would just say that that's what they want to do.
Or if it was a rundown house and they wanted to keep it a residence and had to put some money into it.
Let's say it's just a fine house and then they want to sell it, and there's someone who's buy it and it's
right.
still neighborhood business.
Right.
No single family, no multifamily, it doesn't matter.
Right.
That's what I want to make sure of.
Yeah. It could be a good thing that there's no more houses in that area that makes theirs desirable. Anybody ready for the question on docket 10?
I guess just one thing. It's across the river. So this section right here, because part of it is including changing this to downtown commercial.
That I think we'll maybe look at next docket
that's
round.
Next.
Something
we're
to
just
start
about
thinking
the one
about.
Above there.
Right.
Okay, but that's not a part of docket 10.
No.
I read it.
Does the hatching go through there?
Let's make sure we're on.
I didn't think it did.
You know what? It actually does.
It does. The hatching goes through there. So it would take single family, multifamily up here and here.
But as I read it on at least this, which I didn't remember from before, could be rezoned to downtown commercial.
Right, and that's where I was saying that would ideas for future of what?
Just their
committee comments. I think it'd be best to make that a 2017
Jamie,
document.
Whenever we would do something like that, if we're going to propose
right.
a rezone, we have to notice every property owner of
right.
the area and then
yeah.
hold a public hearing on it. So
right.
we couldn't just
decide
that.
Yeah.
No. And if that dies here for now, then there's not a urgency to take it up right now. I think we take it up with our next docket round. Mm-hmm.
When you actually read docket, that's where most of the houses are, the residential area.
Right.
It is not in the neighborhood business.
Right.
And the docket 10 explicitly refers to the neighborhood business part, which is the blue, so it's actually not going to affect the area with the existing residential homes.
Right.
Well, there are existing residential homes in the neighborhood business, so right here.
There's a few along...
Couple,
yeah.
Along
the road, yeah.
Yeah, along the road. Sorry, I was actually thinking about the house in the back.
Is
you know that dock is the Canada's not going to be sewered
right.
out there,
right?
Up by the storage and all that. That's not going to be sewered.
Well, at some point it will, but it's got
to
get across the river.
People died on the ballot box trying to get across the river. They're not going to.
But the people who are building the athletic field have...
5 years, or five or ten, I think 5 years, and their phase two would be putting in buildings, and they would bring the sewer line through.
Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that employment park will get developed, and they'll bring it across.
Is that right?
Yep, that could be the other route.
I guess for me, just for the record, even though we're not talking about changing that one to downtown Colorado, I first thought I would not agree with that because it's in an urban separator overlay district. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, putting 10 building units per acre is urban to me. So was not zoned in there. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe we talk about it more, but it's, you know, I don't know, like, I want to look back and clarify what that district means. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a write-up somewhere. Why was that area chosen? And it does have constraints as well. So
good point.
That was the buffer in between Meadowbrook.
Right. Yeah, and it's just in general a buffer from downtown. And it's got to start somewhere. So it does additionally give not just from downtown, but from Meadowbrook, I guess.
So depending on what types of uses you've got, you could be taking traffic and adding more.
How many years ago was it that half of that green block from the creek and south fork, actually, that was all being proposed for multifamily. That was eventually turned away by the city and a viable builder.
The area where the athletic fields are going, roughly.
No, this is right next to the North Fork Road. Mm-hmm.
Was it Tom Shrove? Not Tom Shrove?
He's right here. He had a good ready to go on it. He said he denied it.
It's like to the east side of Meadowbrook area.
Well, that would be out of the city.
That's, yeah.
Out of the city,
this
though.
This is way away from Meadowbrook. It's
that part where you're saying is outside city limits.
Right here. This at one point had a builder ready to go on it, and he had buffers all figured out for it and all that, and he still couldn't get it through. There's a lot of surface issues with that area.
Yeah, Tom Shrove, the developer of the Bartell, he talked at one point about some multifamily up between Bulch and 202, kind of where the athletic fields are going to be, and you know, but nothing ever came of it in that area.
Yeah.
Might be a pretty place to live, but with the views and everything, but I'm hearing not what people want to see.
Yeah, it seems like nobody wants it here or there.
Right.
And I'm going to go with my idea of in between 2nd and 3rd Street, we upzone it and we do 4 stories and we keep density where density is and just go higher. And then nobody's...
Great idea. Come on, do it.
Well, we got to wait till it's open again.
We'll do it. We'll try the
nation.
You're going to get elected for something.
No, that has nothing to do with running for office. No. That's all about trying to think about a downtown vibrant city that has walkability where people can walk to the grocery store or walk to restaurants.
Yeah.
It's already there, it just needs to be redeveloped, and the challenge is getting it redeveloped and doing it in a way that meets our code.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion, to approve Docket 10 as written.
Neighborhood business zone property located in the USOD overlay to remove single-family and multifamily.
That's the one, yes, sir.
Okay, do I have a second? Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Von Trapp and a second by Commissioner Ryan. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the motion is unanimous. Okay, docket number 6. We've gone back and forth. I like the direction. I also like the fact that your thoughts are to break it up a little bit. How would you like us to handle that? Do you want to come back with a plan, or do you want us to suggest some things?
Okay, we're talking about the NB area along North Bend Way.
Yeah, on North Bend Way.
There's a lot going on there, as we've talked about, and I'm sensing that maybe there's a few, more than a few here that are not ready to make, you know, a decision. The thought on the performance standards was allowing multifamily to the rear of the parcels, limiting the density to 10 units per acre, and having the other use that's commercial or office that's allowed in NB take up over 50% or at least 50% of that frontage. Like I said, the committee's only concern was how much multifamily could you end up with. I guess if you have 10 to use per acre, there's a cap on it.
That's adding to the apartments that's going to be developed across the street. Multifamily.
What's the...
As you go down on the old Tanner Road and going down towards before it crosses into the southeast Tanner Road, there's going to be... Is there going to be any kind of manufacturing going on in there? Is that also going to be multifamily?
South of North Bend Way. Oh, you're talking here.
The orange?
The old mill site.
Yeah.
So here's the River Run Apartments. That's these three here that we have an application in for.
Yeah.
And there is actually a...
I'm putting a question out. If that's going to be a manufacturing site of any kind, clearly we need to have multifamily in the area close to where the workers can live.
Right.
It makes sense.
There's a moratorium that's right in place right now, limiting residential in this area. Right now, it could be allowed with this overlay. You could have industrial here and residential here, and that's how the overlay language is written.
Is it light industrial or is it manufacturing?
No, it could be some manufacturing in buildings. Yeah.
So we ought to be keeping that in mind as well in terms of what's going to be close to these apartments. The street and potentially coming in together.
And then this is the dog room. So we have some multifamily here, we have here, we have multifamily proposed here, and the explosion site.
So we have three multifamily neighborhoods. We should probably have 10.
There's at least some being built.
First in a long time. You know, for me, I think about our zones and just having clarity and simplicity in our zoning. And if you say no single family and no multifamily in neighborhood business, it seems really clear that what you want is business use. Just throwing it out there. My question is, if I think about Bartels, what's the height in there? Do you know? Because to me, it seems like it's 30 feet. And if I have a limit of 35 feet and I'm a business, then I don't know that I want to give up any for residential. I mean, maybe it's there's a profit thing there, but to me,
somebody said so better.
No, I'm just saying 35 feet, it doesn't give a business maybe enough space, right? So I don't know that that's the place to do multifamily with a step back if you're maximum 35 feet. If you're going to do multifamily, then sure, you know, a step back is nice aesthetic. But if you're a business and you've got, you know, 25, 30 feet, it just... units, I don't know how you're going to do the 10 units per acre unless,
Well, the I mean, I keep calling it the explosion site. And it's
Phoenix Plaza.
Thank you. That's fitting those constraints, and yet is doing that correct?
And another one I can think of, it's not.
Well, their first floor is lower. I'm just wondering, you know, I look at what the businesses are along North Bend Way. That's kind of, I guess, in my head. I look at the Napa Auto Parts and, there's the garage, but yeah, I'm trying to think. Sorry.
Those businesses are all waiting for the next wave of development. Mm-hmm. They're all holding their place.
What I like about this talking is no single-family residence. Mm-hmm. I mean, my thought was, considering our discussion and the potential changes for that might be coming with neighborhood business zone, to recommend a proposal with amendments. That amendment would be to approve no single-family residence, but have, I guess, no real ruling or decision on the multifamily aspect at this time, until we can kind of look at employment part one and two and neighborhood business.
When you get to your next topic of the permitted uses, you'll see that committee has recommended basically taking single family and multifamily out of NB.
So do you want to put that into a motion, Commissioner Von Trapp, to strike consider multifamily from docket number 6?
To strike considering multifamily?
What did you just say, though? Possibly, I heard that.
Sure.
But the next thing that we're going
to The next thing, and knowing if it affects your decision at all, which it doesn't have to, that the committee has so far, when they looked at the permitted use chart, they took multifamily out of neighborhood business as well. They looked at the performance standard of, like I said, of allowing it behind. And their concern was how much density. So the overall vibe that I've been getting is really, like you said, make it clear if it's neighborhood business, we want to see business. But I think
Living over a bar, living over a motorcycle shop.
What's it look like to have a business in front of a multifamily? What are we looking at?
Well, I think you'd be looking at just a mixed-use building, like the Phoenix Plaza is. You know, we have plans of that in our office, or anything.
So the multifamily is attached to the business, or is it?
It's above. So the first building would have, commercial or retail or office below with residential above. And then in this case, the buildings behind it on that same lot would just be multifamily units.
I think of downtown Redmond minus the top floors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of those are four-story. Mm-hmm. So you got a restaurant, you got a barbershop, you got, a wedding gown shop.
I think that corner behind Ben Franklin and where Uba's, and there's another restaurant on the other corner, and it's more residential, I guess, to the middle. There's some above on the second floor, and it's a whole block, but it's that mix.
So like that on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm. A little closer is the Plateau. People have run a movie theater that they have up there. It's
Issaquah Highlands?
Yeah,
yep.
Highlands High.
It's all plateaus. It's all plateaus.
Because of the downtown core, these multifamilies would be higher end in terms of their monthly rent.
Well, I think now we're talking about the ones on North Bend Way, not the downtown. But hard to say, because it can depend on size. Maybe you'd have smaller units downtown. I don't know that they necessarily go for a lot different of a price range. It might just depend on quality and size more.
When you think about where it is, there's the Snoqualmie Valley Trail that runs there, so there's opportunities for exercising. You're close to Mount Si, Little Si trailheads.
Mm-hmm.
You're close to a river to recreate in. There's a park not too far away.
I'd be putting it more expensive on multifamily in that location for that reason. Because you also have the amenity right down below you.
I actually seem to recall when we were talking about multifamily residential in that general area that he used an example in that conversation of the single person who needs to buy a place and wants to be out here because that's where they spend their weekends. And again, it's allowing that mix of housing types. I am reluctant to ask multifamily. I think it's more that we need to narrow in on what we want to see in those areas so that we get the look that people want and you don't end up with this huge apartment behind a commercial building. There's a way to do it. I just don't know if we're there yet. So I don't know if the answer now is to get rid of it in the interim and then think it over and add it back in. I'm concerned that if it's out, it's going to be really hard to put it back.
I agree with that.
Would that kind of discussion happen in performance standards?
I think your start could be what we have and adding in, it's required to be fee in lieu. You know, it's required to be for sale. I think that's an important distinction. The rest of it, you know, we have design standards. We're limiting 10 units per building. We're limiting density.
Limiting height.
Yeah, so I think you've got a good framework to start with. I think it comes down to, what uses do you want to see? If you go down, neighborhood business, for example, what else is allowed there? Bed and breakfast, you could have art gallery, you could have motorcycle sales, parts store, snowmobile sales, bars, business and professional offices. Convenience store less than 16 hours open. Equipment rental, such as kayaks, bikes. Grocery, supermarket, hardware store, health club, hotel, motel. Nursery, landscape, personal service, like beauty, shop, dry cleaners. So those things are right now allowed, likely to continue for the most part. We'll look at that to be allowed. So I think that's what everybody's trying to grapple with. Do we want to see all of that in the NB, or do we want to still have some residential? And then, I just think of it when I'm driving down the road, what do I want to see? And I don't know that I want to see all of one or all of the other. Some of the other staff has also just expressed, you do want people there, too. That's what makes a community and a town. It's all a balance. So.
Let's look at the section of blue in front of the cottage and think about that as multifamily.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And keeping the blue around 436 where there's going to be a lot of activity anyway.
Right.
Breaking it that way.
Right.
And that way you keep neighborhood business as neighborhood business and you don't collude the zone with either that or create mixed use zone and dial that into what we're looking for.
So I think we, with the dockets, we kind of see coming in the future. I think that we will want to dial this in more, and we'll be looking at the EP1 and EP2 zones. So I think a good start might be where you guys are going, which is maybe keep it in for now. That could be a recommendation with some parameters. See if it sticks with council at this point. My gut feeling is they've wanted to take it out just out of fear of development and more units, but that's not.
I think it's more than a fear. I think we're sort of half an hour.
Yeah, but I think it's okay to have your, your opinion heard, and your rationale's good. So
one of my neighbors who was looking to downsize went over to, is it Pulte Cottage development, and all the single family homes were sold.
The single story?
Single story, yeah.
Single story homes, yeah. Yeah.
That's River Glen?
The new cottages.
Cottages, yeah.
Yeah, and they, I can't.
Cottages in North Bend?
There are going to be some single story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is very rare.
Sold, I think she said.
Yeah, they have what, three models of?
Yeah.
I like the picture.
We have that in our, I believe we have that in our new single family residential design standards that is finally going to come to council in July. It's just been delayed because of workload, but I believe we have 25% required, yeah, single. And some of the builders that have come in have said, that's good for you guys for demanding it, because with land prices, otherwise we wouldn't do it.
I've heard some.
I heard two things. I heard one, they had already sold 20, but then I heard that Pulte had actually been the ones to purchase those 20, which means they haven't actually sold to homeowners.
They seem like they're stalled.
Oh, they're not stalling construction. They're going up faster than you believe.
We're talking about the same place by the Forest Service.
Yeah, but there's two of them. There's the John Day Cottages, and then there's River Glen.
Okay, the one up to the north of.
Yes. Yeah, the old
Forest Service kind of seem to be stalled. It's not a John Day operation. It looks like there's just they have a few models up, but they're not.
Rob told me. Yeah. Rob told me that they're hard to find construction workers right now.
Because they're all going over to Pulte.
Well, they're just,
just all busy.
You know, that big complex in Issaquah going west, that seems to be stalled also. They are not putting it up as fast as those first two units went up. They've really pulled back. You just feel it. So maybe there's a depression right now.
You know what I noticed? The demand right now. I on purpose drive through Pulte almost every day and take a circuit route checking and. You know what I keep noticing is that if you're buying stuff up, wouldn't you, as an owner, want to see your place being built?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that.
I don't see people.
Yet, which I thought was intriguing. I don't know. I keep asking questions around, but
they are.
People that are purchasing, I would be one of them. Personally, I'd be one of them going, hey, check it out.
You're
making enough noise.
You know?
They start early and they make a lot of noise, so I'm not sure what they're doing to make all the noise.
Speaking of those Forest Service cottages, though, there's one in particular. It's like 8 feet apart between the buildings. It might be less. So I guess just moving forward, I don't know if that's what we're thinking. People are like, just take a look at one of those. Just drive by.
Yeah.
There's one in particular. I mean, it's even closer than Seattle. I don't know about some of these other cottage communities. I know we've referenced some if they're that close, but I didn't envision it being. I mean, that is like that's almost closer than I've ever seen a home.
It brought some metal.
The last time I was over there, I had a visual image of two kids playing egg toss between windows.
Well, they
and 16 inches. Yeah,
we went. Physics ship, but those are too close for fire. I mean, you get one goes, they're all gone. You get a radiant heat. 8 feet is optimum. You're just going to catch up. I think a huge mistake on allowing us to go in terms of fire suppression. And right, 8 feet is.
It may make more open space, and may like so if they crunch them all together, then there's more open space. I don't know, but that's relative.
Yes,
it was it just made me think like looking at those standards. Whatever the minimum setback is, and I guess as we're all coming. Sometimes you got to see these things on the ground or really make a realization.
To that question, Jenna was working on cottage zone update.
And I think we're almost there with it, and it's on your schedule. We've bumped it back just because of, again, projects, workload.
Yep.
But it would be coming back to you.
Okay. All right, so back to docket number 6. No standalone, single family, consider multifamily mixed use with ground floor commercial and upper floor residential along North Bend Way with 35-foot stepped upper levels. So, it's proposed to us with no standalone single family. They want us to consider mixed use ground floor with upper residential. Would you like to, you, Ms. Gildersleeve, like to propose that the residential be fee simple ownership?
Fee simple.
Fee simple. I would like to add that in there. See how it applies.
So, what a social and single family. Fee simple.
No,
or
is
no, it would make the residential.
The multifamily.
Multifamily as
fee simple.
Condos.
Not rental.
So owner occupied.
And you want to take out? Oh wait.
No.
No, you're not.
That was my question, but
right.
It didn't go in.
No.
So.
That stuck.
Yep. You want it as a motion?
Sure.
Okay, so Ms. Gildersleeve is making a motion to require that. Residential, the multifamily residential be vested as fee simple.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
A second.
And a second by Commissioner Miller. Any discussion?
I guess for me, you know, the no standalone single family makes sense. And I guess just consider, you know, the wanting is to consider and pick up something. I find that just kind of strange a little bit, you know, that they would kind of just come up with something, or like have an idea and like not really bring it to fruition, because it seems like they had maybe an idea and they didn't really kind of like propose like an actual like some sort of action or change for us. So I'm not really comfortable with it, honestly. You know, I know you made your change there. I just find it a little weird. I just find it kind of ill-prepared. I mean, not that they don't have the knowledge. I'm sure they do. Like, that's a great suggestion, but it's just not fully, like, finished.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like, is it fair for us just to, like, finish it real quick here and not consider, like, every aspect
Jamie,
of it?
Am I correct to say that there's two separate things? One is the zoning of it. The other is the design standards of it. And so
right.
Are we then going to get design standards for something like this that we can talk about, implement, talk about landscaping requirements and that kind of thing?
Well, we have that already, so, which would apply. We have design multifamily design standards that we revised this year or later,
yeah.
Latter half of last year. So those would apply to this.
However, they are being specific and saying we want the second floor to be stepped back, so that can provide some visual separation
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
aesthetic.
Yeah,
does that
and
help,
right, and I guess I think they're not being at the retreat, but what I think their inclination was to take residential completely out, but they wanted to leave that option, I guess, to consider the multifamily. It's not clear. It's not crystal clear, but.
The question before you is to add the requirement of fee simple for the residential use. All those in favor?
Just
yeah.
Before we vote, just one more discussion. Who is there anything to prevent somebody coming in, or like the initial buyer coming in, purchasing 1, 2, 3, 4 condos, and then renting them out? And then our intention is undermined, and now there's another middleman, and therefore the cost of that rental goes up. So I'm wondering, how do we guarantee that? How do we realize the intention?
Mm-hmm.
The issue about renting them out would be something that would be within the CCNRs and bylaws of the association.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically something that we would have most associations limit greatly the number of units that can be rented out because they're trying to, people are buying because they want to live somewhere they own. Mm-hmm. And often they have to avoid having, from the insurance end, bringing that part of my experience in, they have to avoid having over a certain number of percent as rental units in the association. So you typically see them limit that.
Okay.
Doesn't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people
have
kind of under the table, I think.
But it, what do you mean? It could be a cost share situation, too. If this could be a recreational destination, you'd have cost share apartments.
I see what you mean. Like you up at Appletal.
Yeah. Basically, you just have access to it on a certain schedule time of the year.
But it would mostly be regulated, I think. It would be a private matter with the association or the management of the overall. If it's a condo, you know, they maintain the outside or however they set it up, and then it would be the people complaining if they were noticing something fishy going on.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so the motion before you is to add the requirement that residential be held in fee simple. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Say nay.
Nay.
Motion carries. It's 4-2. It was Commissioner Heller and Commissioner Ryan voting no.
Yeah, just for me, a standalone single family would be what I'm comfortable with. And I think that the other stuff, just as you read here, the below changes are contingent upon Planning Commission and the committee recommendations. They're subject to change through the review process of the review. So that's what I would just like to wait on some of those other changes until it's looked at a greater 1,000 foot scale.
Okay, so back to docket number 6. Any further discussion?
I'm voting no on any residential because the problem that corners have become overly occupied and congested. And I just think that we would get that off the legislation here.
Well, you would be voting in favor of the
Look at 6. Now you're on 8, right?
Right. That was
is that what you're saying?
That was a motion to add something to document 6.
That
was
additional that quarter.
Sorry.
Wait, you just voted on docket 6,
no.
Right?
We voted on a motion to require fee simple.
On docket 6.
On docket 6, but we didn't actually vote on docket 6. I'm just trying to make sure I'm clear of what you're saying. So docket number 6 says to have no standalone single family and for us to consider multifamily. And what you're saying is that no residential at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to go against docket 6.
Well, I like the idea that we just considered, and I'd like to throw that at council. Like, as far as our discussion, it's still, I kind of like the idea of just voting on part of this, and that being the single family, and having us consider the multifamily at some later point in time when we revisit all of this. But let's put a kibosh on no more single family. I think the sooner we do that, the better, since that seems to be the predominant trend in the city right now. And I agree. I think we need to rehash this, and where that's going to go is something for future discussion. But in order to get something, I guess, finalized in this regard, and as far as docket 6 is concerned, let's eliminate single-family business from all, or as it says, from single-family residents from neighborhood business, and strike the multifamily.
Okay.
as you stated.
And I would withdraw the amendment related to multifamily. My concern is that I don't want to see us remove multifamily at this time when there's so much moving target related to that and related to the zone. I'm on board with taking single family out. I think that makes absolute sense, particularly for that area. It would be way too easy to develop it then in single family and lose the ability to do any neighborhood business. I share the concern with the traffic in that area, which I think I've made pretty clear. My concern is that we don't have enough areas that do have multifamily as an option, and that if we remove it at this time, we will lose the ability to bring it back at all. And that is an area that, with the appropriate traffic mitigation, would be great for the type of development that brings in small stores, small restaurants, and smaller residences. I think condos, as I've stated, would be a great option there, so that we have people that are within walking distance of this little business center. And I'm afraid I'm forgetting who brought it up at this point of the evening. But the idea of having small businesses there, a small store, some restaurants, that would alleviate some of, excuse me, Curtis said it, remember, alleviate some of the pressure on the downtown core for some of the people that live outside of the downtown core is a good one. But I come back to just being really concerned that if we remove that multifamily from there now, we won't get it back. Or at least it would be a huge battle to do it.
I did just want to add one more, but I want to wait.
Anybody else?
One thing I thought of before, I didn't mention that. Just at that John L. Scott building, right across from the poorhouse, kind of. Mm-hmm. And that's one that has an upper level. And so I don't know what that height is, but, you know, it seemed like it could be done in certain mm-hmm. places. I don't know if that's the way, maybe that's not the way they mentioned it here. But, yeah, for me, I'm not against multifamily. I just like to, in that neighborhood zone, I just like to look closely, like, because I guess what I think of is like a kind of an overhaul of the cottage zone. Maybe we don't need that extensive of an overhaul. I'm not sure, but just kind of looking at it in that way. That's something we need to share.
Curtis,
I just and I don't know if it's the formal way that you need to withdraw that. When I see, and maybe this is me being naive, when I see consider multifamily, I guess what I as a, you know, us as a commission, what I see is they're throwing that at us, what ideas do you have? And so I see that as an excellent mm-hmm. idea. You know, there's seven of them. There's how many? Seven of us. You know, the more ideas, the more people think about it, the mm-hmm. better. Mm-hmm. And so I see that as being an awesome suggestion. Maybe they didn't consider, and that they're tasking us with.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern is if we withdraw that's not going to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And the motion's already voted on, so technically in Robert rules, you cannot. You can do a motion to reconsider.
I guess your thoughts on the performance standards that are proposed, which address density and an interim sort of fix. If you propose to just leave it as is, with the amendment for the fee simple, then the NB zone, I think it's 2,000 square feet lot area per dwelling unit. You could get a, so if the concern is somebody could come in, you know, next month and put an application and it could be pretty dense. Is that a concern? Is there anything else to address now until we get to this again?
The challenge with density, I guess, from my point of view, you have to weigh having an affordability factor versus, right, you know, density.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about traffic and cars and parking. I think about it just as a pure standpoint of my neighbor's kids being able to live in the city, mm-hmm, people being able to afford a place in our city. And that, to me, weighs out anything else. I think about it on our busiest street, and that's where I would want to create more density. I don't think it's a walkability. I think it's a bike ride friendly area. I'd like to see North Bend Way get developed so that it has the bike path and, mm-hmm, landscape nicely. I think this could be a great benefit to start that, is to have some multifamily along there.
And the introduction tonight is the amendments for the permitted uses, and it's been tied with the performance standards. So I don't think you have to approve these tonight or say yes or no on these, I guess, specifically. We can defer that. But your thoughts or the direction you think you're going might help, let's see, we meet on... Our next meeting is it the 4th?
Yeah,
we meet on the 13th, and then council is on the 18th.
I guess I'm listening to the discussion. I haven't heard much about the compatibility of the uses.
Right.
And that's where the table comes in of the permitted uses. And I think also if you're going to build it with the desire to have residential, I think you would build it with a certain type of business use in mind, mm-hmm, right? You wouldn't build a motorcycle shop and have people come up. Even though I might. Yeah, there might be some people. So leave it up to the commission if you're ready for the question, or if you want to... table it to the next meeting and talk about our table of permitted uses. Anyone?
I was going to say, I would move to table until after our discussion.
And I'll second.
Okay. Any comments?
Once the Jamie gets on the record, I think we have to talk about whether or not we're going to abandon Tanner Road that parallels North Bend Way. I think that would be a terrible terms of accepting residential on that docket 6. We need to provide a transportation corridor wide enough to handle the turns, the access into that area, and not using Tanner Road as a widener opportunity for other lanes to go east into what's going to become a very busy part of the town. We got a bit of a bottleneck right there. Turn on the North Bend Way from 436 is an off angle. It's acute. It goes back, mm-hmm, 80 degrees rather than 90. That causes problems right there. You have very poor sight distance there. All that's got to be considered before you start talking about adding the kind of traffic that you're going to bring to that area.
So you're proposing look at using Tanner Road?
Joining Tanner Road up, abandoning Tanner Road, take it off the map, and add it as part of the parcel. Using to widen or to add an additional driving lane, turning lane and driving lane from North Bend Way eastbound. That actually was an overrun grade, that part of Tanner Road.
Yeah. You have the Tanner Trail kind of bisecting that. So you would be shifting the Tanner Trail.
Tanner Trail comes across it, sure. That's,
yeah,
that's got to be dealt with.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that all you have there between Tanner Road and North Bend Way is a strip of trees again. It's just, they're just trees. But when it comes to traffic and safety, they are just trees.
So I wonder if we could summarize your concerns being... that if we're going to consider mixed use and multifamily, that we need to have some type of transportation plan to accompany it.
Mr. Chair, before the board is here, no real business. Yes.
So it's not just good enough to understand that there's a roundabout planned. We want to think about the number of units and the number of cars and figure out how to.
Roundabouts is an issue very squeaky on traffic. I think sometimes there are more hindrances to a good flow. If you look at that pattern that they're talking about for 18990, that's a very fascinating pattern.
Yeah.
It's a weave. Mm-hmm. But they aren't going in circles, they're going parallel.
Okay, so the motion before you is to table docket number 6. It's been moved and seconded. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
By Commissioner Mantrap and Commissioner Gildersleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Any further comment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Docket number 6 has been tabled. How's everybody doing?
Getting there.
We are at 9 o'clock. Is there anyone not okay to proceed? Seeing none.
Nobody's okay to proceed. So we've got another half hour, maybe.
Okay, for another half hour then. Table of permitted and conditional uses. This is our first time with this subject.
Hold on. Did we did not get a recommendation on docket 8 then.
Docket 8.
Right? Unless I was asleep.
No, I did not.
Okay. So that's the neighborhood business area adjacent to Southeast 140th. Proposed LDR for the properties not adjacent to North Benway.
And then do we also have to specify the other two parcels there?
If you want to call them out differently, if you don't, they go with the group. They would be neighborhood business. If there if there were a change for any other parcels to LDR.
Here's why I would think that that continued use of neighborhood business gives the buffer in between employment park, neighborhood business, and residential.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that makes a more harmonious flow between the zones.
I would echo that. I also, I heard him loud and clear, and I feel like his efforts to put in the buffer already, to plant those trees and to consider the requirements of that zone and possibly future uses of it. I feel like he's been responsible. I feel like he's been community-minded, and I feel like our decision should reflect that and allow him to continue using it the way that it has been and not have any, if he wants to expand the storage, I feel like you should be able to do that.
Yeah.
At the same time, as far as like the rest of that area, I feel like it just makes sense and we're basically trying to run into what it is, which is.
So just keep in mind that we're saying what the area can be zoned. If it was to be sold, it still has to apply to that condition. So in EP1, if there wasn't a buffer, there's just a noise difference, right? And so where your neighborhood business, your more compatible uses are going to fit in with residential.
Yes,
so you're saying what he's done, I'm saying look beyond that and look at just that zone and how it would fit within the area.
I agree with what you were saying. And correct me if I'm wrong, what you were saying was to keep that neighborhood business and the rest of it to LDR as proposed.
Yes.
I was echoing, I like that buffer. He's already built a natural buffer. So instead of turning it to EP, to have it be continuous with the rest of the, and basically maintain it as it is.
Commissioner Wright.
Who's familiar with Mr. Lear?
until I met him at the meeting.
You may. However, so, an old time resident of this town has been a logger and a road builder. It's one of these guys that comes to the rescue for people and needs an additional quick plow on the property. I'm sure he owns property scattered around the valley. That's what all of them do. But he's responsible. And if whoever wants to do something is going to be responsible. He's not doesn't just move in the town, buy property, and develop. It'll be something that he probably has been thinking about. And I would take him at his word. I trust the man. I think he's been around a long while. He knows a lot. He's seen a lot. That's all I have to say.
Add to that, he's extremely, he and his wife are extremely committed to the communities here and will stand by anybody's needs if necessary.
Yeah.
Stand up.
I didn't want to go too far on that, but yeah, that was a good guy.
And I don't think our actions should, you know, necessarily be dependent on the individual. I feel like that's reassuring, but I feel like we need to look at it for what it is. And I guess what I was saying was, look at that parcel for what it is and what they've done with it and what they plan on doing to it, and hopefully continue to. It's nice to hear he has those things.
So what is on there now?
Mm-hmm.
What type of business?
Storage unit. Maybe storage.
Yeah.
So what if it, because right now is mini storage allowed in the
I was just looking that up. It's not, I don't believe. To page. It's on page 17 of the packet. Mini storage is allowed in EP1 and urban separator overlay right now. Indoor general is allowed in both EP1 and EP2 now. You can see what the committee had proposed. But.
Strike, but it is right now.
It is right now.
Two.
Right.
And this was built before annexation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But even if it was taken out, I mean, he could maintain that business.
Maintain the ones that are there now. He wouldn't be able to expand into that, into the triangular area, that use.
Yeah, it sounds like he doesn't care what it's zoned. He just wants to have as many storage, But if it's if it's alive, if we say it's we're looking at or it was proposed EP2, but then if mini storage is struck from EP2, he'd probably say, "Well, hey, wait a minute, I didn't want that."
Mm-hmm. Right? We could also consider it neighborhood business.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I know, but it sounds like a real stand-up guy. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, do we really make all our decisions based on in that way? We can't. So, I like the landscape buffer, and don't want him to. It sounds like it wouldn't affect his current business either way. I mean, that's how it goes. It's just. Business is what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think in general, if we do go with that concept of like employment park, it's like an automated car wash. It doesn't have many employees, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same way would be with the storage unit, wouldn't have very many employees. So if you were looking to benefit his expanding storage unit business, you'd probably have it in neighborhood business because there is an employment there. So,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not looking at it in that regard of expanding this business. business, but, you know, so right now, though, it's not allowed in neighborhood business, correct? The storage units, the new
right.
storage.
Right.
That's why it just, it gets difficult for me to make these decisions when,
Scott, I think you're looking at two separate things, and you know, one is the zone of it, and the next is what's permitted underneath it, and that's what we'll look at next, and you'll have that opportunity.
I think this goes back to something we talked about at the opening of the meeting. When we have this sort of amorphous making decisions based on what it is now, knowing that in a matter of a couple meetings, it may change, and maybe what we're basing the decision on now no longer applies within a couple meetings, and we've gone through this this drill of making a recommendation that really no longer applies.
Yeah, so I mean, so if we look at just what the sentence is right there, that doesn't even affect this property.
Where are you looking?
The docket 8. If we look at docket 8, it's titled the description.
Right? Is that docket 5 in the packet?
Yeah, so docket 8. We look at that. Neighborhood business on a long 140th Ave should be rezoned residential LDR. So that wouldn't affect that property we're talking about anyway. Right. So, why are we even talking about it? That's not even part of the docket.
Well, so it is zoned NB, though, right now. Certain parcels within the neighborhood district zone between Southeast 40th and Southeast North Bend Way. That is them, except those fronting directly. So he has one that fronts directly. It's hard to see the parcel lines there. So you could exempt that one out, but still that triangular one behind is part of this package of dockets. So it's all the same. The difference was that he requested, he's been commenting and requesting that he wants the EP2. The council committee said, we're not interested in looking and adding more EP2 in. And then they expressed concern. I don't think they want to see the use period, as you can tell in the permitted uses. So that was their rationale behind it. I think it'd be no change for him. And so, yeah, if you don't want to give special treatment to him, I think you just look at the docket overall, which is, do you want the LDR with NB remaining on North Bend Way?
Should be listed there.
His, that specific one?
Yeah, that parcel, Tom Weber's parcel, is not listed unless this
right.
is an abbreviated version.
Well, neither is, like Kim Smith commented on her parcel. I mean, so we didn't call out each individual property owner.
Yeah. Why would we as a planning commission suggest to put LDR next to truck stop, for God's sakes? For Pete's sakes.
It was already there.
Yeah.
Storage units, letting.
make the most sense to propose, I'm not making a proposal, just throwing it out there, but to propose this change with amendments, that amendment being maintain neighborhood business for those four persons.
I have too, is under what Vic said with having storage for all the homes that are going in, and where the storage units will be placed in the zone, and as Dick mentioned, we do live near a storage unit, and I just know other storage units. I've had my stuff stored when I was in college. They live near them, but I think in general they're fairly quiet. People don't usually go there very often.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
It's only open.
Yeah, it may have limited hours, it may not, but still, people don't normally sleep in there, although they might, they're not supposed to.
They get in a bind.
Yeah. So, I don't know where I'm going with it, but just that maybe that's where the storage unit would fit into the neighborhood business. It doesn't sound like it's there now. So, I mean, if it was, then it's already zoned that way. So, concerning a particular property owner, we wouldn't have to change anything, but it would mean that it would have to be altered when we look at neighborhood business closer.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a car wash.
I wouldn't mind. All that gravel mine dust. Okay. So, docket number 8, as it's written and as it's reflected on page 2 of our packet, with that blue color would be the change, correct? After our official zoning map, there's page
correct.
2. And then there's some properties that are shaded blue, which would
right.
be neighborhood business, and then everything else would be low-density residential.
Right.
And that would be low-density residential fronting Southeast 140th Street and
right.
neighborhood business, with the exception of the private road, 455th or something.
Mm-hmm. The amendment from that I've heard, I don't know if there's consensus with that, is the other triangular piece, the other part, Tom Weber parcels, to remain NB, because this on page 2 has part of them going to LDR.
So the proper way to do that, to make the initial motion and then move to make the amendment, vote on that, like we just did.
You could amend it. Yes, the proper way would be to make the main motion and then amend it.
Okay.
Or you could just propose that the motion, the, yeah, the.
I guess I was wondering, maybe you already went over what the CED committee, their comments were.
Yeah, so they did not have, it's a small area of the city. They said they did not have a huge fight one way or the other to go to LDR or to keep it at NB. For Tom Weber's properties, they did not express a desire to want to include those as EP.
Okay.
That was pretty clear.
I do remember you saying that.
Right.
One other thing I thought of. I think there was a comment from someone in Tanglewood, and it talked about noise.
Mm-hmm.
So not really. I don't know how much that the zone change would affect that.
Right, and the other comment was for the ULID. There was a comment about, your downzoning in a way. You're going from neighborhood business to LDR for those properties.
So concerning, I guess, public comment, we didn't have much at all. So how does everyone think about? Does that affect anyone's decision, or does it not, if there's no real driver from the...
Mm-hmm.
Well, the residential uses that are there aren't going to oppose the change, right? So it's only those that are going to go against, I guess, their use, or what they intend their use to be.
Well, the one residential did oppose because of...
Well, their intended use. Yeah.
Right. And that's where, if as it's proposed, or as we would want to have a performance standard, if it is going to go to NB committee's recommendation and ours, is to have a performance standard to allow single-family residential. So it would be, so not an overlay on the map. It would be a performance standard specific to this area that says if you're NB, you can still have single-family. Because the rest of NB, if the use is, we just said, we didn't want to see single-family in NB. So.
Sorry, that just gets more confusing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so it would be an exception for that area, or you make the color yellow if that's...
we're not exactly...
Yeah, those are kind of...
It's only lot by lot, but this is getting a little too...
So,
does anybody want to make a motion to approve docket number 8... which is neighborhood business zone along 140th Avenue should be rezoned to residential LDR as shown in our map. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Bontrap and a second. Second by Commissioner Gildersleeve. Discussion.
I think we've discussed it a lot, and I think it would also make sense to vote on a separate amendment to that, just kind of based on the recent discussion. If that carries, great, we'll add it, and if not, then it dies and we vote on this. So I would move to strike the four parcels at the east end of that in question that we've discussed from the LDR proposal, maintain it as neighborhood business.
So we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Commissioner Miller.
She was first. Sorry,
no, you were first. point of information, Jamie, do you know these parcels that we're referencing?
Mm-hmm.
The triangle. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Discussion on the amendment. Mr. Bontrap, you made the motion. Would you like to go first?
I feel like I've said my piece. I don't have anything to add.
Okay.
I'm just having a hard time with this one a little bit.
I'll speak against. I'll just say that I think about it. I do like neighborhood business as the buffer in between the areas. I think by stretching it out, I struggle that there would be a need for an entrance off Southeast 140th, and then you put more non-compatible traffic. I'm thinking about it as a long-term, shuttle bus route, biking route for the Middle Fork. So I'm trying to think about it with that lens. So I'm not necessarily opposed to it as much as I'd be opposed to having use of Southeast 140th. So it's one thing if you're expanding onto that lot, but if you're going to gain access to it.
I guess for me, I just feel like there's not a whole lot of neighborhood business in the city. So to take some away isn't necessarily a good idea. And I just think if a developer bought up all of that, you could have another tanner right across the street. Just don't know if that's what the citizens want. It's just a whole town of homes. And I know that's what's already there now, but they're fine staying there as they are, as they are. So it doesn't change anything to the existing homeowners. So I'm just hesitant to change it. I guess it just sounds like just because there's already homes there is what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, to be clear, I was thinking about it as more a vision for that road and to to not be a business use.
Yeah, I do get it to that point. It's the safety part.
Well, safety and just aesthetics or just...
Mr. Chair, Docket 8 doesn't touch 140th at all. It accesses the off in way.
The amendment that we're discussing does. The triangle piece that we're talking about adding. At the north end of the triangle.
This triangle here.
The north end.
The north end doesn't touch 140.
That's the...
This property does not front on 40th.
Yeah, there's a parcel.
Yeah. No. It's
accurately depict this in the minutes of the lot.
No, we can show it on a map.
Okay.
I mean,
as long as you're clear, now I am clear. I withdraw my comment. Thank you, Commissioner Rapp.
Also very real that we need to make that change so that stays residential, including the residential control from the neighborhood business. So if we remove single family from neighborhood business, we create a situation where those properties are, at least while they're still homes, that's what they can be, but we force the issue of those being redeveloped as something. This weird little puzzle picture that we're creating of zones.
And my concern to counter that would be that that whole section could be, another tenor. So it's just which one you want, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Well, if you're going to think about that, you got to think about how recent those homes were built. And if you're going to think about, something that's not going to happen for 25 or 30 years, because the average home ownership in that area is about 17 to 20 years. Those homes, some of them were just built.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unlikely that anything like that could happen for the next 20 years.
So why do they make change at all?
Because if it's neighborhood business, then that's a different type of purchase and a higher market value, and then you entice somebody to do that. And to think about what you want that vision for the road to be. You know, a lot of changes that we'll make, we'll not see for 10 years in our zoning. Just that's it. If it's residential, that's the easiest and the first thing that gets built, so that happens quickly. But if it's business or employment park or multifamily, those things take time.
I think we have a shortage of surplus storage in this town. Pretty certain that she's full up down there.
I'm thinking of the Tanner Pit. It's right down the corner there. That at some point, the intent of that is to build.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have more structures, more homes there.
Yeah.
More homes in the park.
Happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to get a whole Savali place and that whole chunk just used to Tanner Road is going to be built.
See my note on page.
And Jamie, a lot of that traffic, by the way, uses exit 32 to get on and off the freeway.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So the
one in the middle.
The need for Commissioner Ryan's transportation.
On page 3, you'll note my note on the left side, NB or LDR. That was kind of a carryover from the committee meeting. Not to get you off topic.
But just think about the future. They also brought up this area, which we'll get to with our EP uses. And the
perhaps where an existing storage facility is.
What do we want to see? So it's next to the area you're talking about tonight.
Storage area downtown and Lotus changed ownership.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to likely put a casino there, but they have, all options are open to them. They would have been wanting to do that.
Commissioner Ryan, before I lose track of this, we have a motion and a second to add on the, is it the three parcels that you have circled on page four? Is that an easy way to say that? Page four.
So, so it's four parcels total.
Four parcels that are identified on page four.
Right. The way this has it is the back two with the hatching, BLDR. What I'm hearing is
neighborhood business.
Neighborhood business for all four of those.
And so that is the motion. Is there any further comment?
It's just for those. There are.
Yes, and we just want to extend neighborhood business to those other lots.
And is this combined with having the other LDR then?
Correct.
Well, first we're going to vote on the amendment.
But isn't it just, it's already neighborhood business?
Yes. It's already neighborhood business, but the amendment is...
I see. What we'll vote on, if we're changing what we will.
Docket request
is to change it all to LDR.
Yes. Amending the docket request. Yes.
Any other question or comment? Motion before you is to change the identified parcels from LDR to neighborhood business. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion is approved. It is unanimous. Okay, the original motion, now as amended, is to change the properties along Southeast 140th from neighborhood business to LDR. Is there any further comment?
My comment, I guess I'm just a little uncomfortable with it. That's where I am, so I'm not going to hold it up, but I think that when it gets all built out, probably going to want that neighborhood business, so that's kind of where I'm at with it.
In which case, I'll have a dial their own.
Well. All right, any other comment? Okay.
Please vote in favor of this because it's compatible with the.
Joining. All right, so the motion is to, a motion as amended is to approve the change from neighborhood business to LDR along Southeast 140th Street. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Motion is approved. One opposed. Commissioner Heller.
Sorry, I gave you guys a big agenda. Too big. All right. It's hard work.
Jamie, in general sense of an agenda, do we normally put old business before new business?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just asking now that I finally actually looked at that.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
I would love to talk about our table of permitted uses.
Well, the right. So there's a scheduled public hearing on that next. Planning Commission procedures probably should have went before because we were wrapping or we've already looked at that, but, you know, looking at the time and the calendar, it's up to you guys. Calendar's on the last page. So the looking at page 37 for your future meetings, the second bullet, Cedar Falls Street Standard potential hearing, that goes away, and the first one, the docket items 6, 8, and 10, you've made those recommendations tonight. So, and that should say permitted use chart 18.10, not 10.10. That would be a hearing next meeting. And we could continue the procedures if you want then. I would have time between now and then to make them pretty and the table of contents added. So there's definitely more time to discuss permitted uses after the hearing.
I'm good for another hour and a half. I'm out. Might as well get it done. So, 902 would like to.
I guess you better call.
Pass on.
Call the motion.
I'm saying I'll sit here. I'd like to be heard.
I'm going to get angry.
You want to talk about procedures versus getting in a new topic, or you want to just adjourn?
Well, we're in the procedures of the airplay. I don't see the bills. Instantly, there's the use of the play record as a last chance of notifying people. We only publish once a week. That's not the last chance at all, I think. Some great page to go to would be the last chance.
Can you?
I'm looking at page 29, item 2, under meeting agendas and notices.
Yeah.
It's recommended that as a quick notification to the community 24 hours in advance of the meeting, you use the snow calling record. Well, it only publishes on Fridays. And on Tuesday, you can get in the paper, so it's just as important.
Good point. City website, Jamie?
So, maybe Living So Quality would be a better reference. What you take, guys?
I don't think they're like a recognized publication. They're more categorized as a blog.
Yeah, they are a blog.
Right, which isn't necessarily. Classified the same thing as, you know, circulation or,
the requirements are.
I'm just saying, my record is not a good reference.
No, I hear you.
For turnaround meeting notes.
And really, this has never come up where we have given that little of notice. I mean, we're always, if it's a special meeting, too, we're usually. A special meeting, we want to, you know, give enough notice to get everybody there.
I think the thing to consider is perception.
Yeah.
If it says 24 hours, it's things could be perceived to be slipped in there.
Right.
As opposed to 7 days, we're transparent.
Right.
You know, just for example.
Right.
I mean, you go on social media and there's a lot of suspicion.
Right.
Unfounded.
Right.
Yet, here's one way we could address that.
I think that's fine. 1 week, as it's published weekly, so 1 week prior to the meeting would be the Wednesday before. And again, I just don't see it happening and coming up because.
Yeah, we don't have to deal with
to get
emergencies or road closures. We're not the city council that has to do emergency action.
at our agenda for the next 6 months right now. You know, so, I mean, even 7 days is...
Right.
We could go longer.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes we take longer, sometimes we don't. It's...
Well, the City Council website is also an additional notification, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They give notice to all the commission meetings and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Why
can't
The email distribution.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can ever do enough to get information out.
Mm-hmm.
See, in any of the news available. And that's actually where the Livingstone Bobby blog could be a good option, just from the PR perspective of another resource to get the information out. I just don't agree with you. I don't think it meets the official notice requirements.
They have 3,000.
I know, they've got a really good following.
She doesn't
out there.
Very lucky they have
12. And I think she is more of a journalist. Probably one of the better journalists in the Valley.
Okay. I just want to make one note on the procedures. I have a redlined copy, and Jamie and I had been sending them back and forth, so the headers are messed up. And if we're going to do this again, then you have time to clean them up, that would be much appreciated. One change that you all had requested was a quorum. And while I made it in the procedures, that is in North Bend Municipal Code 2.28.
Mm-hmm.
And so without a code amendment, we can't do something in our procedures.
Mm-hmm.
So do we all feel strong enough that I should approach the City Council and ask for that
change? What was the rationale to have
a three?
A three instead of obviously a four would be a quorum.
It was because it was hard to get people to show up.
Yeah.
And I think there were a fewer number of total commissioners at one point to go from.
Yeah. I think it's been three, though, for a long time. It didn't, the mayor was trying, I was talking with him about it, and he didn't remember that it had to do as much with that the commission numbers increased, so the quorum should have. And I think... Yeah, I shared the concerns about, you know, attendance, but he was just asking back, you know, how do they think it will change things by changing that to a five, or what's the goal, I guess? And
I think the most important thing I heard was that the decisions that we're making are too important to not have that much of a majority here.
Yeah.
I think it's also perception issue that wouldn't only three commissioners make a quorum when there are so many of us. And again, this is something you actually see referenced on social media. So I think that it's a good idea from not even running it up to them to decide.
So a quorum for City Council is also three.
Mm-hmm.
That would be supportive of approaching them and helping them.
There's three or four for City Council.
But I think, does this apply to commissions and council?
No, this code is for the Planning Commission specifically.
Oh, I see.
But I believe that the City Council is three.
Mr. Chair, maybe to help enforce the attendance call, we call out a roll call at every meeting so it goes down on the record. That we have...
It is recorded.
I know it comes out, you know, in the minutes, but I actually have a voice response here. School people are playing this on tape, whatever. They visualize there are a quorum plus here.
So your point is for those who are listening to our audio to understand.
And there are
many who are listening to the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
I know. Involvement's great, right?
Yeah, the council does that. They have to say present.
It might help too in typing the notes and trying to remember what voice is what if you've heard them in the opening meeting speaking.
Yeah, I think of course.
I appreciate that. I'm sorry. excitement of these meetings, you never stop to be recognized. Doesn't fit the approach.
I try. I raise my little finger in the air. Over here.
Under the code forum, because I'm caught up in this a little bit in this day and age that I think emailing in advance your vote is okay. That's what I believe. I believe we should consider it anyway. And so what exactly is there in the code? Does it say quorum in person, or does it just say three members?
I made it specific in here that it's in person. And
I know said in there.
And we're off the code.
I don't believe. I know.
Because I'm just thinking if it's something that can be up for consideration or to discuss, you know, we get our materials, we can't be here. It's just one vote, right? It's not like you're voting for the whole thing. It's just, but if sometimes you just can't be there.
That's the
form. Okay.
If our votes were always that cut and dry, but as you know, we spent half an hour getting the annual vote. It's been changed so long, you don't know what you voted on.
True.
So voting in advance probably would be a mute thing.
It probably would not work, especially if we do an amendment or something. Yeah. So I get that. Maybe it does come back to because these are public meetings and we're not doing stuff email back and forth and prior, then it may just not be appropriate for this kind of thing.
So our city code chapter 2.28, Planning Commission, three members of the Planning Commission shall constitute a quorum for the transaction of business. Any action taken by a majority of a quorum of the Planning Commission at any regular or special meeting of the Planning Commission shall be deemed and taken as the action of the commission. And that's all it says.
And that what that in effect means is that two individuals can carry a vote. And I know that we've had days of being able to transact business with three people. And it was a good idea. But I do have concerns about.
I'm only wondering, should it be odd? And if so, five, and five might be tough. Because it shouldn't be an even number.
So that you don't end up with a tie.
Oh. I guess wouldn't you assume that the public assumes that all just come to every single meeting? I mean,
ask the ones listening
all
the time. They know.
We've had some great attendance, but this is a lot of meetings where there aren't people attending in there to see who's here and I'm not on social media as much to understand if the message is there. No.
You know, you talk about having a hard time voting with four. We have to be unanimous votes here all the time.
I find that,
all the time, it's not a four, it's a unanimous vote.
It's true. With this current commission,
I think we've had one or two. Well, I can't say for a statistical fact, but we've had a few votes that I know, not just in this meeting, where there's been one person opposed. I think that there's been a great, a lot of debate where we can all understand each other's point of view that I think we come around to promoting decision based on facts and substance, which I think is, one of my pleasures of serving on this commission. So whether it's, going to continue like that for that discussion, I don't know. But, yeah, I think we should still have an odd number.
It's not a final rule, though, so I don't know if it matters. Does it really matter if it's like an official approve or deny? Because it's just going to the city council anyway, so they could look at it, like.
2-2, yeah.
So, and they would say, okay, well, there is concern, you know, so what is, so, like the sense of the commission is that, sense of the commission is this.
Yeah, well,
I agree with you. It's just the
I mean, it could be perceived as less strong because it's a tie. It's not a approve or deny. It's a tie.
But is that not fulfilling what we've been tasked with? I mean, it's our job to give them a recommendation. If it's not a definitive recommendation, then are we not fulfilling our obligation or our role? And so, you know, is that a hung jury? And the jury and the judge tells us to go back and deliberate more?
I can't remember a tie. I'm just not in 6 years.
Right. They shoot it down, we don't spend any more time.
Right. I'll run it by the committee and I'll look into that and get back to you with anything that's different. But for now, because it requires a code amendment, we'll leave it in our procedures as 3. If you guys think you're pretty much done with any other edits, then are there more?
I had a comment in here and I think there was a duplicate section.
Okay.
And it was on... It's under absences and attendance.
Page are you on?
I'm looking.
28?
Sure. It's on page 28.
G and H are the same. So I guess H can be struck. Or no. Well, it's very similar. That's my comment.
I wasn't sure what the black boldface.
That's part of the formatting that needs to be fixed. Yeah.
What I did was I inserted the actual character. So if F changes to G, it would automatically change to G. But if you remove it, then you get error source on that. I just want to call out, let's see. Page 27. Under commission members, point number 3, commission as members are subject to the Open Public Meetings Act. And that was your request, I believe, Commissioner Von Trapp. Something else in here. Oh, page 30, number 2, meetings of the Northland Planning Commission and the governance for conducting its business are governed by the Roberts Rules of Order, newly revised. Was also another change you guys wanted in there, which I thought it was, and I kept reading it and couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing back on, sorry, page 26. Uh-huh. Should there be another... section there on if a commissioner can't complete their term, proper course of action, submit a letter to the mayor or to the chair or.
We can't get out of this.
I'm not saying I want to.
It does need to be in.
And I'm just thinking now Councilman Elwood, if there are other responsibilities that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say he couldn't have stayed on? I think that was his call.
He could stay on until elected.
Yeah. I mean, finish his term or until he swam in or I don't know.
Got it. And that's a good addition.
Under 2.
Mm-hmm. To do if you cannot complete your term or have conflicts.
That might be 2 or more extra sections. They just decide, or if you're not moving, or whatever, versus
unable to complete your term.
Conflict of interest created by a different role.
Do we explicitly state in that if you, that a council member, sitting council member, cannot also serve on the planning commission?
I've never read that.
Would anybody realistically volunteer for both of those? Probably not. But should we maybe say something to prevent a perception of a...
Well,
that's not to say someone wouldn't try to do that.
Because I could certainly visualize the public questioning the efficacy of a planning commissioner who's announced running for elective office. What they call feather bedding in advance of becoming elected. They could charge you setting up things they'd be voting on as a council member in the future. When it was coming this direction, vote in a way that they would then have a chance to vote on it again. That could be a public scandal. And you wouldn't need a vote. You wouldn't need that.
And yet, commissions serve as a very appropriate stepping stone.
That's why he resigned early, I would think, that he didn't want to have an appearance of a fairness issue.
Curtis, I don't know if it's much as a stepping stone or a point of awareness and frustration that you go to that level.
Fair enough.
As I understand from a certain City of Snoqualmie Planning Commission members that are running for office now,
yeah,
that the council didn't approve their 50-foot buffer.
I see. And not the other planning commissioner who's...
No. Okay. Yeah. The vice chair.
Just to clarify.
Yes. Yes. And I had this grand idea that I was going to gather all the chairs of planning commission together and have a little pout. I'm so glad I didn't. Okay. Enough said there. So good point on conflicts and cannot complete term.
There's a separate section on absences.
Yeah,
absences. Yeah. So I just wonder, I was just looking at that vacancy of offices. Would you say that that's more related to, at least the first paragraph, that's more related to absence? And the second would be the vacancy.
Mm-hmm. So maybe move that to absences.
And then you could expand on, I don't know if you wanted to, what report Curtis is going with it, like if you actually do leave, if there's any speculation, like your notification, double serve or something.
Well, I think about a lot of that goes under membership and the role, and if you're able to serve or not, versus just missing a meeting or not attending a meeting. But Does that make sense to you, or does that not work?
Yeah, you do agree the first paragraph is.
It's an absence.
Because like you are still in the
office.
Position.
Yeah.
So hold that.
Yeah, I could move that one.
I'm wondering about either using bullet points at certain times or like the numbers and the letters.
Yeah.
Don't worry about numbers and letters. That's okay. Part of transferring between different Word versions.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's got messed up.
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah. I don't know what's best, but.
Boy, I don't know if I do either.
One of the things is, like, I wanted to be able to show the track changes, and so. Once I know where we're good at and we can consolidate all the changes, then Jamie can take it and put it in a nice format, right? And yes?
Mr. Chair, contact absence and attendance.
Yes.
Page 28, Section E. I believe that last sentence is actually superfluous and not necessary. Where it says, where comments are not submitted, it is presumed. I don't think they needed to be there. Talks about commissioners are absent. No events are going to be absent. They can provide comments on the agenda. And where comments are not submitted, it is presumed by staff that blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not even, that has no place for that. But what's the purpose for that?
Only once in my time here have I had a planning commissioner, after we voted, try and come back and insert their comments and changes into something.
Mm-hmm.
That's. I'm on E. That's not what this is. So this last sentence is just, well, we know what that person would have said had he said it.
No, this is saying that if you don't submit comments, then we presume that you didn't
oppose it. Really. Yeah.
Right. And so then F is saying where the commissioners are aware of future absences and where providing detailed written or verbal comments. Quorum of the commission may review and act on said comments and related subject matter in the absence of the commissioner. The commission, through a majority vote of a quorum present, reserves the right not to entertain future discussion on the comment items. So what they're saying is if you don't comment in advance, then we figure you're just going to agree with the...
You're not going to be heard, yeah.
...majority of the commission.
And there are certainly on any body or board that would allow comments after the fact. That's like taking a peek at the test scores and then filling out the test. You know, they're never allowed, whether it's written or not.
Where does it say after? I don't read it after.
I read before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, comment. Yeah. But it goes on later on about if the absent member has a dispute about what the outcome was, they have a chance to.
And then it says the vote you need to.
But this last sentence isn't even necessary in this particular E.
I guess for me, I'm reading that last one where comments are not submitted. I'm wondering if that's just not necessary. I like being clear that you can submit comments in advance, especially for new members, and it will be considered by the commission. The next one, I guess. I'm not sure why you would say that either. You're just saying, well, if you don't say anything, then you know, don't ever say anything about it again, because you assume that you either agree with it or you have no adverse comments.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That one's a little.
You guys know I get kind of cranky at times, so you should probably presume that I'd be cranky on any vote rather than I'd be collaborative.
We're actually making these rules because of you.
Yeah.
Do we need to be a little bit more clear?
Yeah. Call out specific names.
I just
all right. Yeah. So, do you guys want
to? I'm hearing just your comment. I don't have nods of consensus around the table.
So, when I look at that statement, I think ahead to that one person who does argue, because I think we're pretty lucky. and if you have that one person that does argue about the
oh, I wasn't there, you have to let, we've got to re-vote on that. You get to point at that and say that it was clearly laid out in the rules and you had an opportunity to submit comments.
And it's not just a Roberts Rules of Order violation, it's in the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
It's somewhere else where you can't say something. I would say that it's fine to say that you can't come back because you're absent. But to presume that you were going to vote in the affirmative because you weren't here, that's wrong. Yeah, that's the reason to let him come, to let him her come back and make a comment.
I know there's some Roberts, I don't know if it's Roberts rules, where it says if you abstain from voting, it's counted as a, you're for it. So I don't know if that's where this is kind of coming from. If you don't say you're against it and you abstain, it's a vote in favor if there is a tie.
With an abstention, it goes with the majority regardless of the way it goes.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. If you abstain for conflict of interest.
Well, if you recuse, yourself because of a conflict of interest, then you're out. But... like you abstaining for the minutes, even because you weren't here, you're still for him. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I am, but I abstained.
Right.
Just kinda,
it's a good way to document that.
Yeah.
I just want to kind of piggyback on what you said. Yeah, I think we're pretty fortunate and a credit to leadership that we've had the last few years, and your predecessor as well, with just the civility and the respect that we showed on this table, and I think. Like, we look at this as a way to ensure that, after, when things change, when our faces change, so that the town has that, and that's protected by these. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should take this for granted. I think we need to kind of look at, okay, how do we continue this? So I don't think these rules should necessarily, a lot of it doesn't really apply, right, because of how we are.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we protect that and continue that?
And I think it's also noticed that if you do have an opposing opinion, to put it down and submit it.
I mean, I think an example of it in E for me was that I missed the meeting with the docket 4 where the car wash came up, and I did not agree with that, but everyone else did. And so it was assumed, I guess, by reading this that I did agree, but then we came back and voted on it. In that case, it was not true.
Yeah.
Even though if you read it, it is. Mm-hmm. So if it comes down to I, though, that I do agree with, and that is the rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's final action. You can't bring it up again just because you weren't there. I get that, but I mean we can leave this as written. I'm not going to beat it up. But for me, I just say that isn't true because there's a circumstance in my case where that was not true. If people want to believe it is, then. Just because I wasn't there, I thought of submitting comments, and I should have, but I just ran out of time.
It's like it's a fair statement because you're not there.
Yeah.
I could be hidden by the theater.
I hear you.
The reason why I wasn't there.
I hear you both, and the whole sense of whether you're for or against it. Let me research it.
Well, if I could maybe just the wording change that, they accept the decision of the committee without contention or
something
that.
Like that, but not to say that you
supported
that.
It.
Yeah, that's your point. No, I think you can like reword.
Or maybe something along the lines of no opinion for the absent commissioner will be recorded in the minutes.
Yeah, you comment.
Right.
Or we can
maybe by framing it that way.
Yeah, and that's a true statement, so yeah. And I think if somebody had big issues about a vote coming up and they contacted the chair and said, I can't make this meeting, can we delay it, probably that would happen. Mm-hmm. And so that's just kind of your working business,
So we talked a little bit about motions and voting on page 29. That's just updated based on your comments. The other thing I'd like you to just look at is make sure you read on page 30, conflict of interest and appearance of fairness, since
mm-hmm.
this is new.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I got the gist right.
a little bit more clear. I guess what I'm thinking is, end of the first sentence, the whole thing, any member of the Planning Commission who, in his or her opinion, has a personal interest in any matter before the Commission that would tend to prejudice his or her actions shall indicate such interest at the beginning of this discussion of that topic. And then we'll, you know, and then it kind of ties into the end, will remain silent or remove themselves from the room until such time as a vote on that topic has occurred. Kind of ties that all in.
Yep. Is recusal a formal word for this topic, or
recusal?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, that's been used before, and so is that what you're doing essentially? Just because you know it's a procedures document, so it's like how you would speak.
The official terminology.
The official
term.
Yeah. If that's what you were thinking.
Yeah, I have to search if we brought that word up anywhere else, but
if I had a piece of carpet that was being sold from a low zone to a higher zone, and I didn't talk about it, but voted for it, that would be a clear conflict of interest. I should be dismissed.
No low vote.
If like before, where I said I knew one of those individuals in the dockets, I knew one. I didn't realize he passed away the week before we voted on it, but I said I knew him for a lot of years, and I had I wouldn't have to talk about it. Nobody would know I knew 10, 30 years ago. But nevertheless, if somebody takes it up that I worked for him, a friend of his, then that creates an aura of distrust.
I'm trying to remember if recusal is specific to monetary gain. You have to recuse yourself if there's a monetary, because this is appearance of fairness is perceived, you know. Says it's perceived, so we'll make sure that's clear, or that recusal.
The
monetary.
This is a crazy world where even if you're close to somebody who's felonious, you're put in the same pot.
So you have very high ethical standards, and I think you set the model for all of us. Commissioner Ryan, and I do appreciate that. I wrote this, and I honestly want to know, kind of like I did with you, I really feel you could be fair just having that friendship in thinking about the overall picture of the city and what was best for the city. And so just because you might have a personal friendship, there isn't a conflict. It's when you have a financial gain that you should absolutely 100% recuse yourself.
For financial,
I don't want the city.
Well, right. Financial.
In the case of a friendship,
personal.
There's no reason to put the city in jeopardy by having somebody, third party, go say, Ryan knew Helgeson, he should have declared it, he didn't, I'm charging you against, you know. And that's what I'm trying to stop.
Yeah.
I don't should try to stop. I don't have any financial gain to make from any of this stuff. But the fact that I was known to be his friend, but didn't talk about it, and we both won this favor, and I voted for it, then we created a problem, needlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got the point at the start of the topic, and consider using the word recusal, if that works.
I guess what I meant by personal gain is he may not be paying me, but he's going to come, you know, gravel my driveway tomorrow, and he's not going to charge me for it.
Yeah.
So does that fit the definition of financial gain, or
definitely a conflict
it's
of interest?
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of just he's delivering 3 quarts of wood to my house tomorrow. Yeah, that's what he does for a living. I'm not paying for it, but I just voted to help him out.
You know? There's Senator Stevens, Alaska, many years ago, had his house restructured by everybody.
A couple times, a couple vacations.
Not a conflict of interest.
No, it's just business.
Okay. Did anybody have anything that jumped out at them other than what we've discussed as the changes?
What we would love to do, or what I would love to do, is get it all clean and pretty and hand it to you as your bound document.
Yes.
But we don't have to make it that formal. If you see an error still at that point, we can change it it's just your review that's necessary, and I don't know, it would probably be good to make a motion. If you want to do it tonight, then we don't have to do it, bring it back, a motion
bring
as amended.
Bring it back all pretty so they can see the format.
I think this should serve as a document for the rest of the city. It doesn't anybody else have this, or is this something new, unique to us?
Other planning commissions have procedures.
Yeah, but I don't know if the council, I'd have to look.
I look at Woodinville, Bellevue, Issaquah. I don't know if I looked at Snoqualmie and one other city, and that's where I got a lot of my ideas, just
but,
looking at all
but
their
but commissions like this, the economic development commission have something like this?
I think it's mostly probably what's in the code, yeah.
I mean, it's
to the
standard.
I think that it's incredibly important to have something that the public can read, mm-hmm. because it's twofold. It's people that might be interested in doing this in the future, and it's a learning experience for them of what this meeting all about.
Yeah.
It's also about just that clear transparency and how mm-hmm. this process works. For someone who might come in
mm-hmm.
one or two meetings over something they care about, to understand a little bit more about how it all works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can put it on our website. That's a great suggestion.
Should we get it, like, written quill pen, ink,
put all,
paper?
Put all our signatures
Declaration
on it.
Declaration of Independence.
We should.
We should put all our signatures on it.
Sign official and ancient.
We the people.
Well, it's not that far.
We the Planning Commission for the City of North Bend hereby declare that these... Okay.
Okay, so you want to wait and make a motion
yes,
until
please.
It's the... hopefully final version.
Yes. One other thing, Commissioner Von Trapp, page 32, citizen questions may be answered by the staff at the direction of the chair or inquired by any member of the planning commission. We're inquired on behalf of... The staff has quick turnaround times in these meetings.
We're not bringing this. We won't bring this to the next one. Just because I am worried about how I'm gonna need some technical help with Word. How do I unformat everything?
Clear formatting, paste it in a new, and use one to reference and reformat the whole thing.
That works.
Here, it'll come up. Yeah.
I can contract work.
Yeah. I'm a little worried.
I work for a kombucha. You're welcome, Commissioner. Thank you for that suggestion, because I think then it makes it apparent that we should do something, and I think it values that person that attends.
Right. And hopefully they'll be back.
Can you paragraph, paragraph 80, page
33?
Wouldn't that be that first sentence?
Public hearing dates, sure. Mm-hmm.
Good catch.
Don't get me started. I'm going to edit this by the time.
I'm sure we're going to find some as we go through. It was just, this is our first cleaned version, so it was getting hard to watch it with all the track changes. So I was trying to be helpful, but then it's good to have the, now we've got multiple versions of it. That's the fun part.
I'm dreading my 5-minute public comment time.
Yeah.
You guys really wanted to do that to us, huh?
Is that what you said?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
I think you have the ability, so what? When I talk to the attorney, the mayor, you have the ability to adjust. So if it's a major big hearing and there's a lot of people there, as long as it's across the board, like you said, you can say at tonight's hearing, you're going to have 3 minutes.
One person speaks for three. How many minutes does that person is allotted? One person speaks for three people.
Oh.
In order to,
no.
to consolidate a point of view, they get more than 5 minutes.
No, I don't think
so.
We don't
have anything like that.
Same if they wanted to talk for 3 minutes and then 2 minutes. You it's not... You get one shot.
It's a recognized standard if a group goes. Rather than the whole group go and say the same thing, one person speaks for all of them, they get about 10 minutes.
I think that would have to be arranged in advance. It's like a presentation to the commission.
Each person is entitled to speak only once at a public hearing. So, you know, that's the 5 minutes. So
But you can still provide testimony and say, me and my neighbors, we have this letter, there's 20 signatures on it, and that can be part of your 5 minutes, and it helps substantiate your...
Once you have one person read the first page, another person read the second,
there's
Well, we got some dockets done. Thank you for hanging out and just reviewing the procedures, because I'd like to get them done soon.
Here's a very abbreviated building permit year-to-date activity. Just a snapshot for you guys.
Thank you, Tom.
From Tom. Hi, Tom. He'll listen.
What's ready to issue?
They just haven't picked them up, but they're ready to go. Very busy.
The hotel is still moving forward.
Yes.
Okay. Hey. Anything for good of the order?
Just, I guess, concerning like notes and a scribe. I mean, it's a process that, you know, miners and roads need. Have someone just in person taking notes rather than trying to listen to a tape after.
Well, if it takes some time, we would help do the minutes, or then we review them. But we've also shortened our minutes. I mean, you can see on like the May 25th where we're not describing every comment received, and so. And Tom used to actually come to the meetings and then do the minutes. It's hard to, it's hard unless you have an extra person. But I try to take really good notes.
And it also helps, you know, for me, my learning was to really call out who's making motions and who's abstaining or who's voting no. So that way.
Yeah, it's a good point that it might get, because he's over his head, too, in work. So it might get to the point, and if we can get more planning staff where... If a couple of us are here, we just say, hey, let us take the minutes this time. And
with all this building going on, you should be able to hire some staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So you will have a new director, it sounds like.
Yeah. And then...
Jenna's gone.
Yeah.
She sent out notice was Thursday.
Yeah. What's that?
Jenna sent out an email that her last day was Thursday.
Today.
Where's she going?
She took a 2-year contract with the Murray Franklin in Bellevue. Private residential local developer. She's never worked outside of government, so she was needing a break, I think. But sad to see her go.
Where did she work? I thought she was on the planning staff of
Snoqualmie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, on the business side, I think she was the city side. I thought she was working for Quadrant.
She worked with Quadrant extensively with the Ridge Development. Yeah. And Rob McFarland, wasn't he Quadrant?
Yeah,
he was Quadrant. Yep. So sad to see her go.
So she's on the near side of the desk. So
I know. She actually will probably be coming in here and other cities.
Yep.
We gotta sharpen our swords.
Yeah.
It's
gonna be
a tough
I know, she's smart and tough lady, and I don't think I can follow yet in her shoes, but I'll get there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big shoes to fill.
To adjourn. And a second. Motion by Commissioner Von Trapp and a second by Commissioner Heller. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. It is 1:00.